It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, happy Independence Day, howdy. Last I checked, it is a lovely day in Washington, D.C. And by lovely, I mean I saw a video about an hour ago that showed the rain just pouring down. And a message on the big video monitors that said the program will begin soon. Didn't see any actual human beings. Of course, that may be because they've got the area from about halfway down the reflecting pool all the way to the Lincoln Memorial, that's fenced off. That's only for the right kind of maggots. You know, the kind that dig deep into there. But the problem is, like I said, happy Independence Day. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the Internet. This program is live. I don't know if anybody else was live today, but this program is live. And I'm hoping we will have a fantastic Independence Day on the front porch conversation here in fairly short order. You're welcome to join in. Just run over to headon.live. The Skype link is there that will take you into the conversation. And we should hopefully have a Jim Dandy this evening. At least I hope so. As for me, what am I doing? Well, I just had my late afternoon snack. It's been one of those days. Been snacking all day long, grilling all day long. By the way, I can tell you that the Johnsonville Beer and Cheddar Bratwurst is a delicious example of its form. Yeah, real good, especially because I found some mustard today. I found dill mustard, and yeah, it goes real well with beer cheddar bratwurst, absolutely. And along the way, I mentioned, because I've been jonesing for good homemade potato salad, and lo and behold, Agnes said, "Well, by God, let's do it." So I brought home all the makings, and she went to work, and hoo-wee! I mean to tell you, Agnes can make some potato salad. And don't worry, there's no mandarin oranges in it or anything. It's just straightforward, creamy, wonderful, mustardy, dilly potato salad. Crispy with the onions and crispy with the celery and the sliced olives and the pimentos and the little dill cubes. And the mustard and the, oh, it's just so done. A little grind of fresh black pepper on top of it, and you're ready to go. And so, by the way, I may disappear during the conversation periodically because there are ribs out on the smoker. And I don't know, maybe we'll even fire up Facebook Live if I get to the point where it's time to pull them off the smoker or check them just to have a look. But it's Independence Day, the commemoration of something that happened on July the 4th, 1776. The publication, it had actually been signed a couple of days before, but the publication of the Declaration of Independence, which was a groundbreaking document, full of high-blown, highfalutin philosophical ideas and language, and no small amount of propaganda. The part that really just grates on me is down there where they start talking about the merciless Indian savages, when there's every reason in the world to say that, no, the savages weren't the Indians. But never mind. Well, that's a different day, another time. But I thought, particularly because this national secular holiday is being turned into such a tawdry display of ego and maniacal self-interest by Nitwit Nero, I thought it would be good for us to just have a group conversation this evening and see where it takes us and what we want to include in it. Every program here at the Horn begins with thanks. This program is no different. We have subscribers to thank for this fourth day of the month. And as such, those thanks go out to a number of people. In particular, our subscribers for the fourth, namely Thomas and Kelly and Paul and Catherine and Nagla. Thank you all very kindly indeed for being part of what keeps all of this going. Thank you so very much. As far as a fundraising goal is concerned, we got $280 to do this evening, and then $200 tomorrow, $200 Monday, you know, the usual $200 Monday and Tuesday. And then, hopefully, I'll have enough to hit the road and head for Philadelphia. It looks like it's going to be a real squeaker. But that's later on. What's this, Steve in New York? Subject line, Roger's canned tuna. Any way it's possible to buy some of that from him? I don't think Roger's legally allowed to sell that stuff, Steve, but holy holy tuna, didn't it sound good? A lot better than mackerel. And being as Roger's out in Eugene, I bet he gets access to some mighty fine fresh tuna, too. So, not only do we take note of what happened on July the 4th, 1776, but hey, did you know something happened on July the 4th, 1876? On the 100th anniversary of the Declaration? One of the things that a lot of people don't know, and unlike Julius Caesar, I don't mean I just recently learned this, I mean a lot of people don't know that up until Abraham Lincoln's presidency, the Declaration had almost been forgotten. It had fallen into the memory hole, if you will. But it was Abraham Lincoln who revived it and made it part of our national consciousness again. But on July the 4th, 1876, a group of women presented a Declaration of the Rights of the Women of the United States of America. And it was, you probably already know, it was summarily dismissed, disregarded, paid no attention to. They were modeling it on not just not just the Declaration of Independence, but the Declaration of the Rights of Man, which had come along in the 1790s in France. The people behind it were the luminaries of the suffrage movement of that time. Here's a quote from it, from Matilda Gage. While the nation is buoyant with patriotism and all hearts are attuned to praise, it is with sorrow we come to strike the one discordant note on this 100th anniversary of our country's birth. And for their trouble, for standing up for the rights of women to be fully vested citizens of the Republic, they were called harridans. They were called harpies. Susan B. Anthony, Matilda Jocelyn Gage, Sarah Andrews Spencer, Lily Devereaux Blake, and Phoebe W. Cousins. And they had all engaged in activism for some years. Some of them started out agitating for the abolition of slavery. And went from there, after 1865 and the ratification of the 13th Amendment, to looking up and saying, wait a minute, hold on. Every woman in this country is still a second-class citizen. So on July the 4th, 1876, the president pro tem of the Senate, because President Grant was unable to attend, being indisposed, at the celebration that was led by the president pro tem of the Senate, Susan B. Anthony, Matilda Jocelyn Gage, Sarah Andrews Spencer, Lily Devereaux Blake, and Phoebe W. Cousins appeared before the dignitaries and presented the Declaration of the Rights of the Women of the United States. They were told to sit down and shut up because their little declaration was not on the agenda. So they bear a remembering. Let's see, ciphering's not my long suit, but 24. Yeah, it would be 43 years before women would be given the right to vote. Given. I'd like to say before they received what should have been theirs all along. So that's one 4th of July event. And then there's what happened on July the 5th, 1852 in Rochester, New York. Frederick Douglass, who you may recall Donald Trump said is becoming more and more popular, had been invited by a women's abolition group in New York to speak on the meaning of the 4th of July. And it just so happens that some years ago, while Howard Zinn was still alive, they had an event called the Voices of Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. And none other than James Earl Jones showed up to read the speech that Frederick Douglass gave there on July the 5th, 1852 in Rochester, New York. It's worth a listen.
Fellow citizens, pardon me and allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us, I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty, an unholy license. Your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the
Well, where'd it go? The point is made just the same. I don't know what the culminating lines would have been, but I imagine that they were equally fiery. Think about it. Within 9 years, the nation, within 9 years of the day that Frederick Douglass delivered that speech, the nation would be immersed in blood. Because the states that made reality of what he was describing refused to be members of civilized society and give up that most hateful institution to which they had so tenaciously clung. Just 9 years. And from the moment that that conflict ended, the insurgency began, and the struggle has continued down to the present day for something resembling equality. Joey points out, did you tell the story about what happened on July 4th, 1826? Well, that was both Adams and Jefferson managed to die on the same day, thinking the other yet still lived. and I suspect that the other had yet gotten one over on him. They had healed some of their wounds because they went from being friends to being bitter enemies. And with the advancement of age, came to that realization that in a short human life, that hatred can consume far too much of the value of it. But Jefferson died a slave owner, did not free his slaves, and Adams died convinced that it would be quite possibly the undoing of the nation. July the 4th. But Ron in Raleigh asks, has Donald Trump ever heard this speech? If he has, do you think he understood what it meant? The bombast and fraud part, maybe? No, he's never heard it. No one ever made him hear it. That's the problem. No matter, throughout his miserable, misbegotten, best part of him ran down his mama's leg life, nobody ever made him do anything. At least not much past, say, middle school. You know, when they shipped him off to that military school that was a stand-in for juvenile hall for kids of privilege. No, I don't think he's ever heard it. I think he would despise it if he did hear it. I don't think he would necessarily even understand it, but he would simply despise it because it was somehow not part of his privileged, lily-white vision of this country. That was weird the way it just... failed. Let's see what see if we can pick it back up.
Stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
That was
there. That's the fullness of it. The storm would come. The whirlwind would come. And yet, even today, there are those who, like a certain idiot in Atlanta, a contractor who was there, showed up to a house to perform some service, showed up with a Confederate flag flying off the back of his truck and was kind of surprised when the African-American couple who owned the home said, no, you can just go somewhere else. That thing is hateful. And it... because there are assumptions that are made on the part of white supremacists, not neo-Nazis, their sympathizers, that, you know, most white people, that they were going, just assumed he was going to a white couple's or a white family's home, and two, that most white folks wouldn't say anything about that. James with a note says, the Don is worried about crowd size. He thinks it's all about size. We know there are far more important things. It's a musical interlude. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. So, you know, just some historical considerations, but no small amount of disdain going out today to the CNN and C-SPAN for their announcement that they would, in fact, carry Trumpapalooza 2019. And they earned every bit of it. Because this is not a nonpartisan event. This is a campaign event masquerading as a day of celebration. And it's more than a little bit, well, disgusting. But if you believe in the goddess of irony, and if there's one deity out there, this is the only deity there is. Then from rains in Washington, D.C., to an earthquake in California, this would be a sign or two. Just checking with checking the feed to see if there's any. Oh, well, there it is. Trump on way to National Mall. How are they going to keep him out of the rain? How are they going to protect his hair, his precious hair? I don't know. Could this be the night? There are some people. There are some people finally gathered. They're getting rained on. The maggots are gathered. They've got their maggot hats on and their maggot shirts on, and they're all terribly excited for a glimpse of the deer leader. But if it rains, his hair is going to fall all to pieces. And of course, the other problem was that so few people were interested. The GOP, the RNC, had charge of giving out the VIP tickets and couldn't find enough people to fill the space. And again, if you're familiar with the mall area and the Lincoln Memorial area of Washington, D.C., you know the length that... you know how far it is from the Lincoln Memorial to the Washington Monument, and the reflecting pool is there, and they've got from about halfway to the reflecting pool to the Lincoln Memorial fenced off, maggots only. So that tells you a little bit about it, right? But they have managed to get people more or less stuffed into the area along the reflecting pool. This will thrill the nitwit Nero. And I would not be surprised at some point to say I had a bigger crowd than Martin Luther King or Barack Obama. But CNN is carrying it, and CNN should be ashamed. So too is C-SPAN carrying it. It's pretty well disgusting. But for the most part, I just wanted us to be able to have a little conversation for this for this holiday, just to have good company, especially because very few other programs were actually live today, to the best of my knowledge. So let's run over and check in with Sparky under the redwood tree. Hey, Sparky.
How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good. How's life under the redwood?
I'm watching a blue jay go after peanuts I'm throwing him.
I had no idea blue jays liked peanuts.
This one does.
Well, I guess they're seed eaters, so maybe.
And Grady's on the other side of me over here laying down. He doesn't even know he's there, but the blue jay squawked every time he'll be back.
Yeah, collecting and coming back for more, right?
Yeah. the worst thing those damn birds do is they plant trees.
Oh, sure they do. They're not pollinators, but they're seed delivery mechanisms.
Yeah. That giant oak tree I got out back, they bury acorns everywhere, and then I got little oak trees sprouting up. And then they brought in a walnut tree in my garden, in my memorial garden area, and some other trees. I found a pecan seed one time.
Wow. Do pecans grow out that way?
Oh, people grow all kinds around here. walnuts and almonds are the biggest ones.
Yeah, I didn't hear a lot about pecans out that way.
And then the pistachios are down the highway. There's big orchards of them. It takes a long time for pistachios to grow, though, and get a crop, is what I heard.
I forget which member of Congress it was, but we were talking to one member who I guess is a pistachio farmer or something, or a pistachio broker, and so there were little bags of free pistachios. You know, that there's always some sort of little, you know, candy or something or another in a congressional office, and he was giving away little bags of pistachios and little bags of walnuts.
It wasn't my congressman, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, because we don't visit Republicans. It's kind of a futile act.
Well, it could have been the. Shit, what is his name? Scaramendi?
No. I think this was Cox.
But from California?
Yeah. Pistachio country.
They grow them south of here. They're all over south on almonds, down south of Sacramento.
So do you have anything on the grill this evening?
No, I'm not grilling anything. Go for one.
Well, I got to tell you, Agnes really can make some potato salad. She put it out of the ballpark. Good stuff.
Well, I didn't buy anything like that. Yeah, it's the only way I get it to buy it.
Well, that's the thing. I took a hankering for it. And it's just no good from the grocery store. That mass-produced stuff that comes out of a potato. It's hard to imagine that somewhere there's a potato salad factory, and that people work in the potato salad factory, but they do. And I guess because they're trying to make it palatable to the largest number of people possible, they wind up making it so bland that it's unpalatable to anybody who, you know, actually enjoys flavor. It might as well be wallpaper paste. But this stuff's good.
My Union grocery store makes all that shit. Their deli. They got a big, huge deli. They make all that shit.
Well, it was like a little blast from the past to have it, you know, homemade on the place. Because, you know, we've got a general agreement as to what we all think is tasty. And this is righteous. She only let me have a little bit, though, for a taste. Because she said it has to sit to get really good.
Got to absorb the flavors. It's always better the second day.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I've been known to even splash a little Worcestershire on it, and that perks it up, too. Somewhere is yelling heresy.
I don't even have Worcestershire sauce in my house. I have a big bottle of soy sauce, though.
Not bad, that.
That's what I do. My steaks in the soy sauce, and then I got a Pappy bread seasoning.
Yeah.
That I put on it. Let them.
Yeah, that Montreal steak seasoning has a nice flavor. you know, McCormick's. It's pretty good stuff.
Pappy's is a California seasoning. It's made in Fresno. Good stuff. We also use the, you get the big jars of garlic and herb. You can get Pappy's on Amazon.
Yeah. I think I looked it up one time. By the way, a note coming in from Robert in Australia. Subject line, one tank. I've got the event streaming on YouTube. It's been saying that any moment, President Trump to speak. It's been saying that for the last 50 minutes, and I've seen one tank. It looks like a museum piece, a tiny little gun barrel. Lots of raincoats, lots of wet hair. Attendants handing out towels to dry seats before you sit down. The bulletproof shields are covered in rain. And in a couple of shots, you could see the rain coming down. If you can see rain on the TV, that means it's really pouring. And the only way to stop Trump's hair from getting wet is if a whole bunch of people surround him with umbrellas. At which point, he'll be mostly invisible, which would be fine by me.
They on the, by the steps of the memorial. Did you see what they had to do to get move him there?
They came in on trailers. I saw that.
Yeah, then they had to put down like big sheets of plywood to roll them across to get to. And they're sitting on a big sheet of plywood. they're Bradley fighting vehicles.
Yeah,
there's two Bradleys, and I think there's two M1s.
Well, I saw somebody with their hand over their heart, so they're pledging or singing or something right now, and now they're cheering, so... Yeah. And I guess that's the army band that's standing there tootling in the rain.
Or the marine band.
I don't know. Who gets the red hats?
The red coats? The marine band has red...
No, these are blue. These are blue coats with red hats.
Could be an army band, but I thought they had a marine band that was pretty much does all the White House functions.
Oh, Jesus. Here's the low flyover of Aircraft One. Did you see that tweet, Sparky? He referred to Air Force One as Aircraft One today. Individual One called it Aircraft One.
I just had a dove come in and land on the water right about 10 feet from me. It's a cool spot in here. I got a bird bath out in front of the tree.
It's a good sign. Melanoma is wearing clothing. They've done. I guess they're somehow keeping the rain off of him because his hair hasn't melted yet. I imagine they probably consulted with the National Weather Service to get him in there within a window of opportunity where it wasn't going to rain on him. It's kind of funny, though, that they've got all that bulletproof glass up in light of the fact that it's nothing but maggots with tickets that have been let in there. Ordinary Americans, decent Americans, are not welcome. Oh, this is disgusting. Let's catch the first couple of minutes of it. Yuck.
You're gonna torture me.
I guess I am, and everybody else too.
Today we come together as one nation with this very special salute to America. We celebrate our history, our people, and the heroes who proudly defend our flag.
Nope, that's as much as I can take. I don't know about you.
Yep.
Bravo. Bravo, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you. I appreciate it. Is Billable Rick in the room, or is he just hanging out?
Well, he said he was riding his bike to... Let me see the conversation again. He was on listening while on my seven-mile bike ride to the beach. Happy Fourth, you bastards. Bastards.
Yeah. And by the way, just a reminder.
Yes, on you.
If Skype is a problem for you, you are welcome to jump in on the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, get in that way if you can't manage Skype.
Hey,
I know.
Bob.
Yes, Scott.
I was hoping that Rick would be on today because apparently we had a 6.4 earthquake north of here, like 100 miles north or so.
No, it was 100 miles north of Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently it was felt wherever the hell it was apparently felt in parts of San Diego County.
Yeah, well, it was felt in Las Vegas, too.
Yeah, and I apparently slept
Jim from L.A. posted he felt it.
But I was wondering if Rick felt it. I'm sure Rick did, because L.A. got shook pretty well.
Well, and Tracy told me that it was a good...
No, he might not. If he was in Pasadena.
Okay, that's a little south of L.A. proper, I think. I believe. I don't know. I've never been up there.
But it was, yeah, it was centered off the...
It was near...
Searles Canyon. Searles Canyon.
I think it was up near something lake. There used to be a landing area for the Air Force or something up that way.
No, it's China Lake. It's a naval weapons testing area.
China Lake, yeah.
And it's right next to Ridgecrest.
Okay. I have not had my first cup of coffee fully yet, so that's why I'm a little fuzzy.
But, yeah, not far from San Bernardino.
It's a desert area.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wait a second. Let me check over here. See if we've got somebody on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Who we got? No? Okay. Well, they were there, then they gave up.
I was going to speak in modest defense of store-bought potato salad, and I think it's a West Coast company, so you may not have it in all parts of the country. But several years ago, I found a brand of store-made or store-bought potato salad by a company called Reeser's, R-E-S-E-R.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
And for all the world, it is very much like the original version of their potato salad. It's very much like the kind that my mom used to make, which I always enjoyed. I don't know what she put in it. I never got her recipe, but this stuff is pretty good. I mean, if you've got to have store bought, try Reeser's original. How did you know, Sparky?
I've seen it before.
Oh, okay.
It's in my grocery store.
Yeah, I think they make it up in Oregon.
Safeway or one of the stores I've seen it in.
Yeah.
When I lived in Redding, I worked. Shopped at Safeway. I don't have a Safeway here. I got a Raley's supermarket, which is a chain based in Sacramento. And I used to wire the grocery stores.
Looking, I'm watching the CBSN feed with the volume off, mercifully, of today's debacle, red, white, and blue clusterfuck. And the way that the pattern of the raindrops on the plexiglass or whatever is coming down, it looks for all the, remember when you get your car washed or you wash your car or whatever, and within a day, if you park in the right spot, a bird will leave a message, and it sort of dribbles down the side of the window.
Well, there went the 4th of July dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, Scott.
Now we're talking about bird poop.
Well, that's, God, what a fuck up. And the District of Columbia hasn't been reimbursed by the Trump people for the inaugural in July of 2017. And Lord knows what today's crap is going to be costing.
Yeah, because nobody could find out. Nobody would say. I kept seeing the $92 million, but that was the old figure when he first came back from France and wanted a damn parade like they had in France.
And then the Park Service apparently funneled a bunch of money not collected for this purpose to help defray the expense of this thing.
Yes.
We're going to have hearings.
It occurred to me.
Well, they will.
It came through the Department of Interior, of course, because that's who runs the National Park Service. But we know that there's $500,000 laying around that never got spent from the mountaintop removal, from the National Academy of Science mountaintop removal review. So for all I know, that's going into it too.
Or they spent it on something else.
Just a bunch of grifters, you know.
How can you trace something like that once they cancel it and take it back where it goes?
Well, that's what, I mean, they're supposed to be accounting for it, but every attempt that's been made to get it has failed because they just ignore
it. Yeah, with this administration, they can't get any information on anything.
Well, you know what I think, Bob and Sparky and whoever else is with us today? In addition to today being Independence Day, it's the birth date anniversary of the only president born on the 4th of July, Calvin Coolidge. And I think America could use a president like old Silent Cal, especially the silent part.
Yeah, because for the as far as the rest of him was concerned, there wasn't a lot to be proud of or happy about.
No, but the fact that he didn't say much, wouldn't that be a refreshing change of pace? This fucker will not shut up. It's worse than me, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, you've been known to make sense from time to time. He never has.
Well, yeah, there is that.
But his bully pulpit is a hell of a lot bigger than what Calvin Coolidge was back in the day.
Well, yeah.
Hell, he barely had radio back then.
Yeah. And he was sworn in by his father, Calvin Coolidge was. When Harding died, Coolidge was from up in New England somewhere. I forget which state. But his father was a local justice of the peace. And when word came that he needed to be sworn in, his dad handled the proceedings.
I just checked in briefly. I think he just took credit for suspension bridges and rock and roll and cars.
Who, Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
By the way, had a note coming in from Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. Bob, I hope you realize what you started. You need to do play-by-play of every maggot circle jerk possible from now until the election. It saves us all from having to listen to Orange Asshole, and it's more entertaining, too. I know I shouldn't be laughing at a fucking military parade for a wannabe goddamn dictator, but somehow you've made it at least somewhat funny. On the other hand, what the fuck is this? Am I in Russia or the United States? Holy fucking shit. And that's the part, you know, that really, we don't do this. I saw a quote from Irma Bombeck, God rest her soul, if she had one, and if there's a God, where she said, the genius of America is that we celebrate the founding of our country not with military parades and tanks and rocket launchers and troops marching down the street with a bunch of fucking guns, but with picnics and potato salad and barbecue and hot dogs and hamburgers. Well, that's all over now, isn't it? I mean, he gets one this year. What the fuck is he going to do for an encore in an election year? So, you tell me.
Is it me, or is the plexiglass getting more, the vision of him getting a little bit more obscured than it was?
Well, no, he's sort of soft focus. It's like a photographer who puts a little smear of Vaseline on the lens. And now he's apparently standing there and clapping for himself.
Oh, God.
But it's all a tight shot, so you're not... I don't know what kind of wizardry they're engaging in to keep the rain from falling on him.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of that line, as the gentle rain from heaven falleth upon the just and the unjust. Shakespeare, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think that's in the Bible, too.
Maybe Shakespeare was quoting it. By the
Did
way,
it rain on his inauguration, too?
I don't know.
It did. I think it was at W. No, it did rain on...
James pointing out the Don seems to be covered in some kind of plexiglass box. It's all wet, and he's high and dry. And as far as the tanks and the APCs are concerned, James says, those tracks aren't made for pavement. We brought a crawler in after the crane collapse in 89. The street was already torn up, but they dumped what looked like a couple of feet of dirt and gravel on Kearney Street in San Francisco. No, they're not made for pavement.
First, I thought they were using a trench plate, but trench plate's a heavy steel plate.
Oh, yeah, that's that stuff that when they do major road construction, it's like 2 inches high or something, and when you drive over it...
Nah, it's only about an inch thick.
Oh, is it only an inch? It's some heavyweight stuff, though.
Yeah, because I've been on construction projects where we've had to do road crossings and stuff, and we couldn't shut down the road. Once we got the ditch dug... He had to put trench plate over it.
Now, as far as I can tell, he's just as happy as a toddler with a new tricycle. He wanted this little ego fest so badly. It's just an embarrassment. So.
And he does that phony, sing-songy. Sincere, in air quotes, sincere Trump voice, that kind of not yelling, but a moderate speaking voice, and it's all sing-songy, and it's all
And by the way, while we add to the list of deplorables here, CNN, C-SPAN, and of all things, PBS NewsHour. Is there nothing left of editorial judgment in this country?
Now, what is MSNBC doing? I thought I heard that they weren't going to cover it.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
No, they weren't going to cover it.
I think it's a rerun of Lawrence right now.
Yeah, they're playing reruns. They had Rachel on earlier.
You know, it would have been a good time to maybe run some of that prison porn that they ran after hours. You know, just as a general reminder.
I can't run it on this laptop out here. It won't work.
Oh, I expect at some point in time I'll start seeing alerts of if he, you know, really begins to get bellicose. You know, he can't make it through this without a. Without a dig at his perceived enemies, because that's all
he has. Does he have teleprompters?
Oh yeah. He's got teleprompters. He's reading every word of this. So far, he's on script.
Well, hopefully, one of them or both of them will short out, and he'll lose his script. Get a little rain running down the back of the prompters, and
not if they got him enclosed in a box.
Oh, and I saw an interesting interview with him from 2013 or so. He was interviewed by Stephen Colbert, and admitted to Stephen Colbert, because, you know, we've had flag controversies again this week, because people are butthurt over the fact that Colin Kaepernick pointed out that this was a slave nation at the time the 13 Stars and the 13 Stripes, whoever put it together, was put together. And in 2013, Donald Trump admitted he had no idea what the 13 Stripes stood for.
Jeez.
I mean, it wasn't edited or anything. No, I don't know.
They didn't teach him that shit in grade school, man. I thought you learned that when you learned how to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, I mean, generally, yeah. Note coming in from Cynthia out in the Bay Area. Hey, Bob, enjoying the show here in the Bay Area and getting ready to do my own barbecue. I got some ribeye steaks, chicken, and sausages to throw on. I'll be starting the coals soon. Meanwhile, I can just imagine the meal Julius Geezer's going to enjoy today. No doubt, KFC and McDonald's. I'm sure my barbecue can't even begin to match yours, but I'll take it over Dump's meal any day. Oh, God. No, please. Yes. Well, see, if you cook out for Donald Trump, you have to get a New York strip, and you have to incinerate it. I mean, I'm sure Cynthia's ribeyes are going to be fantastic, but I'm also betting that they're not going to be you're not going to be able to use them to half sole a shoe with a hole in the bottom. With him, that's what you have to do. In fact, I got to run out and make sure I'm not incinerating the ribs. I had to give it a little bit more air earlier because the damper was acting funny. But they were coming along real pretty. And depending on how things work out, maybe here in a little bit, I'll fire up some. I'll walk away from this mic while y'all talk amongst yourselves, and then I'll go out and fire up Facebook Live, and we'll get a look at the ribs. They haven't been sauced or anything yet. So
why do you have to torture people, Bob, with a Facebook food porn?
Because it's fun, and hopefully it's inspiring. I mean, that,
who is this coming up the stairs?
Oh, did he invite Hannity?
Was that who that was?
I don't know. I can't see it.
Oh, well, no, they cut to somebody come. No, that's not Hannity. That's, I don't know who the hell that is. It's a military guy in a white hat. Looks like a Marine, I guess. And
got a good cowbell line from David in South Carolina.
White hat's probably either a Marine or Navy.
David in South Carolina stands says, the network should have run a reading of the Mueller report during this. That would have been nice.
Well, John last Sunday ran that play thing that they did. The 10 acts of the Mueller report.
Yeah, that was cool.
He's supposed to be here today, but I don't know what's going to happen. Because he's going to have a Blue Dot family meeting tonight at his usual time, which is the last half hour. It starts the last half hour of your show. And he said he was going to join here for a while and then start his show.
Well, I'd love to hear what he did for, because there got to be some cooking out going on at John's place. Wait a minute, time out.
Harriet Tubman, Amelia Earhart, Douglas MacArthur, Dwight Eisenhower, Jackie Robinson, and, of course, John Glenn. It has willed our warriors.
All of whom are spinning in their graves.
Minefields. It has liberated continents, split the atom, and brought tyrants and empires to their knees.
How do you... Can I get a little help here? How do you go from Frederick Douglass to Dwight Eisenhower and John Glenn?
Well, Douglas MacArthur, I mean, wasn't he and Eisenhower to a certain extent in charge of breaking up the bonus marchers in D.C.?
Well, I know MacArthur was, yeah.
Yeah, well, Eisenhower was like his aide-de-camp, or he was only like a lieutenant or something.
Yeah, Jesus. Once he got sent to the Philippines.
Okay, I hate to do it, but we got to check back in on this. This is nuts.
Sharpshooters take out smugglers' engines with a single shot. They never miss. When the red racing stripes of a Coast Guard vessel break the horizon.
Racing stripes?
When their chopper blades pierce the sky, those in distress know that the help is on their way.
Where's Sailor Chick when we need her? Coast Guard vessels have racing stripes?
Well, kind of.
These guardians of our waters stand.
Are they called racing stripes?
No, but I mean, they're
orange. Yeah, that's part of the paint. The paint scheme,
orange,
the motif.
Orange and white. So they stand out. So they're highly visible.
Yeah, but he just said red racing stripes. Are we sure he isn't mistaking that the Coast Guard for NASCAR?
The one that his rubber ducky rides on in the presidential bathtub has a color scheme like that, maybe?
Air Station, Miami.
Who the hell knows with this guy?
Wait, music?
Turn off your videos.
God, it's quirky. I'm sorry.
God, this is the height of the absurd. Oh, and look, the pool cameras found some, or maybe CNN found some African American people in the crowd to show. Oh, goody. Oh, I see what he's doing. He's narrating each thing that flies by.
Oh.
So now there's a couple.
Well, we got a Coast Guard cutter in the reflecting pool.
There's a couple of choppers flanked by maybe it's the Coast Guard flyover. They're saving the B-2 bomber for last, I think. It can't even fly in the rain, can it?
Supposed to have the new Marine One flyover too.
Oh, for pity's sakes. I mean, how much longer is it before his commander-in-chief? He's showing his bald spot. Ah, his hair's wet. His hair is definitely wet. That ain't Brill cream, children. So the Coast Guard got their flyover.
A miracle occurred over the dunes of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, when two bicycle makers from Ohio defied...
What is this? The entire history... What? Kitty Hawk? Really?
Why?
You know, the liquor store was open today, but I just drove by. I thought, you know, we're going to have a nice little conversation. I won't need that. I need it. Kitty Hawk?
I went to the Wright Brothers Museum in Dayton, Ohio.
Well, I mean, I've been to Kitty Hawk, but the thing is, see, we missed the front end of it. I bet it was... Most people don't know, but Kitty Hawk was the first flight. You know how he does.
He was proven right when empires across the oceans tried to carve up the world for themselves, and America stood in the way. We wouldn't let it happen.
What?
After Pearl Harbor, Lieutenant Colonel James Doolittle and his raiders flew B-25 bombers off a carrier deck in the deep Pacific in a daring
feat. Okay, so
feat
this must be the
American
Army Air Corps,
resolve,
which would then become the Air
and
Force.
And as President Roosevelt said, the Nazis built a fortress around Europe, but they forgot to put a roof on it. So we crushed them all from the air. 177 Liberator bombers flew dangerously low through broad daylight without fighter.
You know he doesn't understand a word he's saying. He wouldn't know a Liberator from a flying fortress, from a super fortress, from a strato fortress. Jesus.
Yes. He never finishes his point of history. He just...
Well, that's also because I keep turning him off, but...
First broke the sound barrier. It was airmen like Gus Grissom and Buzz Aldrin who traded their Sabre jets for rockets to the stars. And it is our incredible airmen today who wield...
Well, I'll be darned. We have to give credit where it's due. A sailor chick just checked in and said, it is called a racing stripe. I'll be darned. I just figured that was Trump being stupid. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry, Randy. Randy in PA said, now you done it, Bob. Now I have a hankering for potato salad and everything's closed. I wish I could help. I wish I could. This stuff won't last a day.
And the awesome might of those who bid farewell to Earth and soar into the wild blue yonder. They are the United States Air Force, representing the Air Force you will soon see, beautiful, brand new F-22 Raptors from Langley Air Force Base in Virginia.
They are brand new.
And one magnificent B-2 stealth bomber from Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri.
Oh, God.
And then he said,
and then he
stands up and he starches himself up a little bit straighter, and he sticks his chin out. Oh my God, here they come! Yeah.
F-22s are not brand new.
No, not by a long shot. No, neither. But Sparky, neither were the Sherman tanks. It's all got to be brand new. We never use, we don't buy used. It's all brand new.
If he says brand new B-52s, I'll keel over.
No, they didn't get, you know, to, no, it's the B, it's the B-2, so, you know.
It's not just the cost of these flyovers and all, you know, this bullshit, you know, the direct cost of those. You got to know, because of the flight pattern in and out of National Airport, they've probably banned all arrivals and departures.
Oh, everything's grounded. Everything's grounded at National. Everything's grounded at Dulles. Probably BWI.
It's just ridiculous. It's transparently self-serving. There's no fucking reason on earth that he could have gone down to Mar-a-Lago and played golf or jacked off or whatever he does down there, you know, without bothering the rest of us. Jesus, there's no end to it.
I got Ron and Raleigh here. It says, for shit's sake, I'm listening to you so I wouldn't have to listen to this toe rag. To paraphrase Jerry Clower, I need some relief. Well, that was the funny thing. As the F-22s and the B-2 were coming over, CNN cut to commercial. I kind of had a little low grade hissy over the commercials in the pageants last week. This I'm okay with. I mean, they shouldn't be covering it in the first place. It's not newsworthy. I mean, anybody want to tell me what's newsworthy about him telling America what he just learned about Kitty Hawk? I mean, for Christ's sakes, he's 8 years old. It's second grade.
What did they sell in the commercial?
Hey, Clarity.
Hi.
Well, we got Joseph A. Banks, and we've got a drug to help with psoriasis, I think.
The usual suspects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boner pills.
Oh, and Match.com. Yeah. And apparently we're selling jeans now. Hey, Jesus.
It's the power association, you know, fireworks, sex, orgasms. It's all fitting right in there.
Yep, scratching an itch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still pissed off at whichever drug company it was that bought the song Magic and has repurposed it to sell their psoriasis medicine with it. That was a nice song.
Well, I make it a I make it a policy never to buy anything that uses pop music to sell something.
You know, it makes me wonder if one of the planes crashed. They cut to commercial so quick. I mean, we're still in commercial. We're down to hustling Allstate now.
Oh God. Hmm.
Well, it's happened before at air shows.
Anybody
hear about Trump campaign ads using stock footage videos?
Oh, and photos too, from Europe and what was it? Europe and Brazil. And saying that it was a white woman standing at the beach, only, you know, it's not who it says to. Yeah, of course, they're liars. Wait a minute.
The president is getting ready to introduce the U.S. Navy flyover. And before we see the planes, I do want to bring in retired admiral.
Yeah, okay. So, apparently, okay, there, and that's just weird. They're trying to. I get the idea that CNN is trying to salvage a little bit of its dignity,
and make some money.
Oh yeah.
Well, CBSN hasn't cut away once in the time I've been watching, so they're bought and paid for.
Well, I think it's safe. If you diss on Trump, everybody goes, oh, you're hating, you know, his job. His main job is to protect America, and we need a strong military, and da-da-da. And you leftists want us to just lay down and let the commies come in and let the, you know, the Mexicans and the Central Americans come in, and we'll have Sandinistas taking over San Antonio pretty soon. And
yeah, little baby, you know, little baby Sandinistas, about foot and a half tall, toddlers, you know. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So it's a safe thing for him, and you know he wants to also show up old Macron, you know, that had the big parade when he was over there. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's dick wagging.
Yeah, but there's no parade. It's just a static display of tanks.
Yeah. That's well, why the planes. The Navy's doing its flyover now.
USA, USA, Jesus.
All right, now that we've done the Navy, wait, what's next?
The Continental Congress created two battalions of a new kind of warrior, one who kept and would protect our ships and sailors.
Oh, for Christ's sake! He's claiming that the United States invented the concept of Marines. Jesus God, there'd been Royal Marines on Royal Navy ships from time immemorial.
Play Tom Lehrer's "Send the Marines," Bob. Come on. We'll send them all we've got. John Wayne and Randolph Scott. Remember those exciting fighting scenes to the shores of Tripoli, but not to Mississippi. What do you do? You send the Marines.
Oh, that movie Gung Ho.
No,
oh, God.
Yeah. Or John Wayne's The Green Berets. My God.
Earn them the immortal name Leatherneck.
We call them Jarheads.
Hey, easy.
Yeah.
So did my dad.
They made a movie called Jarhead.
I know. It's the visuals that make it. When he says Leatherneck, he preens because he's using a word he's never used before. And he turns, and I mean, it's like he's been given posing lessons by melanoma. It is the height of silly. So now there was a cutaway to the Iwo Jima Memorial.
Reservoir, to Khason, from Helmand to Baghdad.
And lots of other places that I was too much of a chicken shit to even think about going. Khason. Jesus.
Ichigumi.
Halls of Montezuma.
And the lake. And the Lake Titicaca and the town Honolulu.
I think you're onto something, Clarity. Are you working up a lyric for us?
Oh, that's from, it's called the Geographic Fugue.
The madness.
Feel his four stars. He could not see and he could not speak. He signaled for pen and paper, and with shaking hand he wrote two words, Semper Fi.
You know, there's a concept out there that's usually used to describe people who go and buy medals online and claim that they're someone and something that they're not. And it's called, what is it called? Stolen valor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great big exercise in stolen valor. He's basking in the glories of people who had the courage and in some cases just didn't have the privilege not to go and do. When he should never let the name of the United States military exit his filthy gob, because he is, after all, a coward. I mean, and this is where we've come to. At least George Bush kept Texas safe from the Viet Cong in the Champaign unit of the Texas Air National Guard.
Yeah, not a one of them got past Galveston, Bob.
No, no, by God, he was waiting on him. Matt in San Francisco points out...
I got the Battle of Thailand.
Oh, here come the Ospreys in a helicopter. Matt in San Francisco points out, Bob, 45 is educating his base. Sad. There's every likelihood in the world that that is true. Hey, let's go over and check in on the stress line and see if we got anybody. Hey, welcome to the program. Okay, got to turn the TV down. Or turn the radio down. Hello?
Oh, I don't know. Just getting things out here.
Oh.
That's Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Did you make it to the beach?
Hey, available Rick.
He muted himself.
Huh. Well, hey, okay.
You know, all the money being spent on this thing, did no one think to bring a couple of little bottles of Rain-X for the fucking plexiglass? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, or you know, just a little dude with a squeegee, even.
And who named it Salute to America? Isn't this a day of private contemplation and celebration, each in his own way? Why must he inflict himself upon an honorable day? I mean, the only thing that I can think of along these lines, I think it was in 1970, there was a big to-do on this very site that I think Reverend Moon had something to do with. I went out and checked out the crowd when it was there. Honor America Day. Look that up, Bob. I think Bob Hope was in on it.
Oh, no, I remember.
Pat
I remember.
Boone and, oh, God, what a, you know, it was like at the height of Vietnam War. Nixon had been in for like a year and a half.
So, yeah. Scott, first there were the Moonies on the mall, and now we've got the Maggots on the mall?
Yeah, from Moonies to Maggots in one generation.
You know, that's probably
a good title. I'm still pissed off. I didn't get my Christmas with Bob Hope when I was in Thailand.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, that ship sailed, Sparky.
Oh, the squirrels are here, Bob. The squirrels are here.
After the B-52s bombed the shit out of North Vietnam and we came to the bargaining table, that was...
Well, come on, buddy.
Last tour was 72 and I was there with 73.
Now, get on off the door. Come on. He's climbing up the screen door to get his nuts.
Oh, you've got neighborly squirrels?
Yeah, there's a couple of them that come by about this time every day. And I ran out of nuts the other day, and I got some, and now they couldn't be happier. And Chirps didn't know what to make of it.
All right, let's check back in. The Marines have flown by. Who's he on now? Are we down to the Boy Scouts, the Weebelows, maybe?
Did it again, the poor bastards.
Oh, God.
Outnumbered, American warriors fought through the bunkers of Pork Chop Hill and held the line of civilization in Korea.
So what this is a, I mean, this is a military hagiography, and somehow or another, he's the focus of it. I mean, oh, wait, air cav. Okay, we got helicopters. God bless America.
Oh, if they repel, let me know if they repel.
Okay, I'll do what I can here.
Can anyone explain to me why
they always repel?
We'll defend. They live the NASCAR by the creed of Douglas MacArthur. Yes.
This is nauseating. But at least we're at, you know, all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it.
Yeah, I can't drink yet. I have to drive over to my sister's, so I'm suffering sober.
Oh, that's rough, Chris. That's rough indeed. Man, it just reminds you how slow helicopters really are. I mean, this is taking longer than those interminable sequences of the Enterprise in the first Star Trek movie. You remember over on the left side of the screen, and we cut away for an interior, and we come back 15 minutes later, still on the left side of the screen. God, those things must be vulnerable.
All right, hey, Clarity, when is your next gig? And where do you play?
Saturday, we're playing at the Pendleton Red Lion.
Where is that?
Pendleton, Oregon. Red Lion.
Oh, way on the east.
Yeah, I've been bumfuck Eastern Oregon.
Oh, yeah, I drove through there a long time ago. Oh, man, that's too far of a drive to see you. I'm sorry.
Spent a year there one day, did you?
Yeah. Yes. I'm actually in Milwaukee, Clarity.
Oh, okay. Well, I lived there in 1973.
Not much has changed, I guess.
No, hey, Milwaukee.
Hey, keep the chatter going for just a minute. I got to go check the ribs. Stand by.
Yeah,
it is beautiful out there, though, right?
You know, it's got a little bit of everything. I mean, if you've ever been up to Wallowa Lake and hiked up into the Eagle Cap.
I haven't made it out that way yet.
It's all wilderness, and it's beautiful. You can hike out of Wallowa Lake and go up into the alpine, subalpine. And you can, you know, there's trails that go all the way over to the Snake River. If you can do like 2 week hikes up through there.
Holy moly. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Where I'm at, it's, you know, I'm like, 5 minutes from McNary Dam. I guess the culture is in the Tri-Cities. There's probably about 150,000 people live in, you know, around Hanford, just, you know, there. And then the Columbia Basin's huge agricultural area.
Right, right. Yeah, I stopped off there on 84 on my way to Portland when moving from Illinois. And I don't know, truck stop or whatever you call it, it's huge. It's huge right now.
Yeah. Well, there's a Love's truck stop. That's new. Yeah, that's big. And then there's the pilot truck stop at Stanfield. Stanfield has a fairly large Mennonite community there, and they do they have an organic dairy.
It's hard to beat Tillamook, though. Have you ever been there?
You know, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm dairy intolerant.
Oh, okay.
I love Tillamook product.
Yeah, the old Casio morphine makes me sick. So.
I'm sorry, Clarity.
Yeah, it makes it hard to socialize.
You like that stuff, huh? I love it.
Their ice cream is really good too. They say.
Oh yeah, but it's expensive.
I just
once in a while they have it on sale in my grocery store.
I just found a non-dairy ice cream that's made with cashew milk.
I can happily report they are pretty. And they are done.
Nice.
They're done. Shot a little live Facebook video there. And
good.
Yeah. So if y'all can carry the weight of the conversation for a little bit, I need to go wrap them and rest them.
Yeah, take care of your meat, Bob.
Yeah, well, thank you, Clarity.
Well, Bob, you stepped away. You stepped away at exactly the wrong time. He actually said, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning."
Why am I absolutely certain that you're not even lying?
Yeah, I am lying, but oh, look, Ivanka's.
Oh, Noma's there. That's so that Pence.
Oh, and hey, let me check over on the stress line. Are you finally there?
I'm here.
Ah, there's Jim. Okay. All right. Well, you're connected. Welcome into the conversation. I got to go pull the ribs off the grill. I'll be back.
Thank you. Happy Independence Day.
Wrap them and rest them.
So anyway, back to the gig. We're doing this one with three subs. So it's going to be interesting. Our drummer. Well, we switched the gig, and he'd already scheduled his vacation. He's up in the Northwest Alaska on a cruise with his wife.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we could hardly say anything about that. And the guy that's setting in with us Saturday is the guy that saved our bacon at the dance we played last month. I don't know if I shared the story, but our drummer choked and ended up paramedics came in and had to pull something out of his throat, and he was dead for, yeah.
Whoa. They revived him, though?
Yeah. Well, he, you know, he did the thing, sign, you know, he's holding his throat, and the band leader's nephew is an EMT, and he came up and tried to Heimlich him, and it was such a big piece that it completely was lodged in his windpipe. You know how musicians eat too fast.
What was he
eating? Do?
A brisket. Piece of brisket. To die for. It was to die for. Dead home.
Almost.
But anyway, we are in our summer mode, and next month in August we're playing an outdoor concert in Enterprise, speaking of up in the Wallowas. And then two days later on a Sunday, we're playing at the it's called the Baker City Music Review.
Huh.
So, and that's a really cool place because they've got this old, I guess it's a WPA gazebo, you know, for like orchestra size.
Won't we get that Clarity? Maybe I'll try to make it out there.
Yes, let me look at my calendar here. The Enterprise gig is the 15th. It's a Thursday evening. We play from 5 to 7. And then Baker City, we're playing sometime in the middle of the afternoon on the 18th.
Is that 18th of August?
Yes. Those are both. They're in the same week in August.
Oh, okay.
The 15th and the 18th.
All right, cool. I'm gonna write those down. I'm gonna see. I gotta check my calendar and see what's going on. But that'd be fun. It'd be a great drive to go out there.
Oh yeah, it's really nice that time of year. Maybe a little bit hot. We will have a sub bass player because our regular bass player has asthma and she just doesn't want to get to an outdoor gig and not be able to handle it. So we accommodate that from her. This year there hasn't been a lot of smoke. You know, knock on wood, it's been pretty wet.
Yeah. Definitely, that's great. I mean,
it is great. We've lost so much forest in the last couple of years in Oregon, everywhere. But the gorge burned, and
yeah, that was terrible. Last year was awful, especially in that stretch of 100-degree days that we had.
Oh yeah,
that was unreal. You couldn't even walk outside.
Well, they said today it was supposed to go to get 90 in Anchorage, and it's never ever been 90 degrees in Anchorage.
Oh my God. Well, Europe is on fire.
Yeah.
Flaherty?
Yes.
Hello, Flaherty? I'm glad to see you done so well and are doing well and back in your old routines. That's great.
Yeah, in fact, the first gig we did coming back was really, I would say, in the top 10 of gigs in my whole lifetime as far as what I felt like my voice was and just everything, you know.
I'm very glad to hear things are working out for you. I really am. I know you've been through an awful lot.
Yeah. I think what it is anybody that's had depression understands you are carrying this huge weight just in order to function. And when you get the struggle and some of those voices out of your head, you feel a whole lift, you know? And I do feel lifted right now.
Like you have wings.
Yeah, it's dead weight.
Like you're airborne, you know, with wings. That's great.
Yeah. Now, as far as what it's going to be like, you know, having sex with this new body, I'm still a little bit leery about that. And of course I'm leery about the stuff that all women deal with, you know, being overpowered.
Right.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've been assaulted before. So I have a little bit of PTSD on top of it, you know, so I'm dealing with anxiety. CBD works. It helps a little bit. The music helps. You know, I get lost in the music. So it's a good thing. It really is.
Well, this is indeed good to hear. It's very good to hear.
It is.
Does the cat have your tongue?
He's got himself. He's muted. Scott's muted.
No, what?
Oh, Blomquist.
Did
your cat have your tongue?
No, the cat is in the other room.
My dog has my tongue. I'm just sitting quiet. Give me a minute to join the conversation.
Clarity, I've got a suggestion if you want to.
How is your cat, Scott?
I don't know where I know this from, but I started doing it several years ago. Pardon me. Wait a minute. Hold on. In terms of not only depression, but also when your mind is whirring away at like 1,000 RPM about all manner of shit that appears not to be working or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know who turned me on to this, but on a daily basis, either in the morning or at night or even both, to do a gratitude exercise, to list all of the stuff that is actually beneficial and working and life-enhancing.
Yes.
And there's something about that, I don't know the mechanism involved, but there's something about that that it frees you up, or at least it freed me up in a lot of important ways.
What my therapist says about that is that you start planting positive seeds, and it starts to force out all the things that, you know, you've habitually collected all these negative things, your negative self-talk. And yes, in the morning, the first thing I do after I get my coffee made is I sit down and write for 3 full pages in longhand, just free flow, you know, nothing specific, and I just put it away. I don't reread it. I don't edit it. And that's from the artist's way. Call it morning pages.
Yeah.
And
the other thing that I found is to, and it's a Zen thing or something, where you are aware of the fact that none of it means anything, and it doesn't mean anything that it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
If you can play in that space, a lot of amazing things will open up.
That's the second stage in mind training. I'm trying to remember the Geshe's name. But anyway, in the Buddhist training that I've gotten, it's you go over the whole body, you know, and you say, I'm not the toe, I'm not the ear, and pretty soon you can't find yourself anymore, you know. And then you're working towards this state of non-attachment.
Yeah. Who we are, in an essential way, is not somebody else's take on us. That's their deal.
Yeah.
If they have trouble, if their experience of me is not working for them, sure, yeah, maybe there's something that I can address. But that not working is happening, for the most part, inside their deal, in their heads.
Yeah, it's their projections, yeah. I was kind of showing, and I'm gradually over time starting to understand it a little bit better, is that everything that we perceive as reality is dependent on, you know, our senses, our beliefs, our conditioning, and if without those things, you know, you think about what the world was like to Helen Keller or somebody that can't, you know, they're sensory deprived, you know, what's their world like, and how much can you eliminate to the point where existence is imaginary in a way, you know, and in a way it's imaginal. What we are existing in, the state we're living in, is a product of our imagination. It's being synthesized as we, you know, come into being on the cellular level. You know, we're living, coming into and dying at the same time. You know, we're living paradox. Marianne, are you listening? Ms. Williamson? Ms. Williamson.
Oh, God.
Jackie.
Hi. Well,
got a couple other people that joined.
Yeah.
Four Earth has just joined us.
And I see John Bridevo, and...
I am here, Bob. And I can't be here long, Bob, because I've got a show tonight to do.
Well, I know you do. I know you do.
Yeah.
Galveston. I can hear your cannons fire.
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
How y'all doing tonight?
We apparently survived the embarrassment on the mall. So
yes, I was listening. I was listening as Donnie the Dictator was calling out the different branches, and you know, nothing like revving up your 4th of July, listening to some coward draft dodging, pissing his pants asshole sit up there and try to make himself sound like he's patriotic. You know, he ain't never had a patriotic bone in his body. He didn't give a shit about this country before, and he don't give a shit about this country now.
Well, let's just the only thing, you know, let's
the only
remember
reason he's up there is
that, well, that's true. Absolutely true, John.
Yes,
and
he don't give a shit.
And the thing is, let's also remember, no member of the Trump clan has ever served the United States in any way, shape, form, or fashion whatsoever.
Never. Never. They ain't never seen fit to give service. And they never will. You think anybody in his family right there is going to get patriotic and go join up some shit. Ain't going to happen.
Nope.
How
there's
goes
money to be paid, baby.
All they do is pay, they don't give.
On the family coat of arms for the Trump clan is the motto in Latin. I don't know how to say it in Latin, but it translates to service is for suckers.
Yeah, that's...
You know? Oh, I thought it was hell no, I won't go.
Yeah, that's either one. Take your pick. Take your pick. Isn't it a glorious day to watch that
show? Bob?
Yeah, Jim.
Bob?
Yeah.
I've got one Latin motto for him that I use for these people.
Yeah?
It's written on the Order of the Garter. Bonnie Quonky, Bonnie Paws. Evil to him who thinks evil of it. In other words, thank you and fuck you. And kiss my entire narrow ass. That's what I have for Mr. Trump.
There you go. I like that one. That's all I got.
Well, I meant to add this earlier. It's not bad enough that he's doing this show, and that's what it is. It's a show. It's not a salute to America, but the venue pisses me off.
Oh, the Lincoln Memorial, the mall,
well,
the reflecting
not only,
pool.
Well, yeah, but listen,
all of it.
The monument was put up in the early 20s, I believe, to honor our 16th president. So there's that. Marian Anderson sang there when the fucking racist Daughters of the American Revolution wouldn't let her sing in D.A.R. Hall because she was colored. In 63, the March for Jobs and Freedom was done, where the I Have a Dream speech occurred. 5 years later was the Poor People's Campaign, and we're still trying to work our way through dealing with poverty and class disparity in this country. And then more recently, wasn't President-elect Obama there in the wake of the election with Bruce Springsteen? It was like the night before the inaugural.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a hellacious big crowd. This is sacred space.
Well, that's where I was going to go, Scott. This is, first and foremost, it is our national temple. It is, because if you go back and you study the Federalist Papers and the thinking of people like Madison, what you'll find out is that Madison wanted us to have a national religion, but he didn't want it to be ghosts and spooks and no. He said it was his hope that our national religion would become our dedication to our civic, secular representative government and society. And so that really is, I mean, no kidding, I'm not just calling it that. They built the Lincoln Memorial on the grand plan of a Greek or a Roman temple to a god. And the god they enshrined in there was Abraham Lincoln. That building, that memorial, is not just, oh, hey, let's remember. It is literally a statement of deifying Abraham Lincoln. Just like if you look up in the rotunda of the United States Capitol, there's a big mural in there that is not transmogrification, the apotheosis of George Washington. It is literally George Washington's spirit ascending to heaven and becoming a god. And this wasn't difficult for those people because they were deists.
Yeah,
and their notion.
Is that what the whole idea of Columbia is that right? Isn't that Columbia kind of the personification of what you're talking about, the national identity or?
Yeah, I think in some way right, and we've got and of course there's that anthem, Columbia, the gem of the ocean.
Isn't Columbia the name of the statue on the top of the dome?
No, that's Liberty.
Where's Columbia? I know never mind.
Well, maybe it is Columbia.
Where I was going, Bob, with that, in that sacred space that has long been a place of national pride and dedication to our highest values, he's attempting to impinge, I don't know if that's the correct word, upon the space, and experience reflected glory, and that's not real. That's like the moon doesn't give off its own light. It reflects the light of bigger and more wondrous bodies. The moon's a dead rock, basically, as far as we know.
Yeah.
And Trump is trying to, he's trying to hog it for himself to stroke his own massive ego. And it's disgusting. It's like...
It's not a salute to America, it's a salute to him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Pisses me off.
And it was one long drug out history lesson, you know, from a guy who doesn't know jack shit.
Jack shit, that's right. Yeah, from a guy who doesn't know anything. Not a damn thing. He's reading
might
everything
as well
he's saying.
Talking about quantum physics.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Because he knows about as much about quantum physics as he does about the history of this country. Yeah.
It would be nice if we could, and again, I asked the question, and I hate the fact that I asked the question. If this is 2019, just try to imagine what 2020 will be, an election year. And yet, Jesus Christ, he'll try to float a fucking battleship in the reflecting pond.
Well, Lee Greenwood would have to be there. I was looking for him. Where is he?
Could it be that even Lee Greenwood wants nothing to do with Donald Trump?
Yeah, if he's smart.
Could be.
Or maybe they couldn't afford him.
Yeah.
Because this thing was all done on the cheap. I mean,
it cost us
dearly, but it was done on the cheap. I mean, remember, this guy's supposed to be a billionaire. If he really was, he could have written a check and paid for it out of his own pocket and never known it.
Oh, no, Bob, 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 back up the bus here, buddy. For him, write a check? No, that ain't going to happen.
I know.
He's going this Bob, on the cheap so he can count more of his bribes that he's collecting right there in that VIP section. And I'm damn sure the Trump International Hotel and Bribe Collection Center is packed full tonight.
Oh, you know it
Read
is.
Read me back that last part. Trump writes a check out of his own money. Sit down, put your head back, apply cold compresses until that thought passes.
Yeah,
Bob.
Passes.
That ain't going to happen.
That ain't shit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Call the nurse, for Christ's sake.
He's getting a cut of everything you see out there, baby.
Was there entertainment, though? Because I had...
Where was Ivanka? I didn't see Ivanka.
She showed up toward the end. This may be the funniest thing of the evening. Somebody put a Russian parade on the WhiteHouse.gov webcam website.
Oh, no.
That's fantastic.
I mean, right down to the goose stepping.
Boy, well, they wouldn't know any different.
Did they have the old
Trumpers
dudes?
Wouldn't know any different.
And it's Russian women in white skirts and uniforms.
Were there cutaways to the old...
Trumpers are probably so proud.
I'm sure he'd be apoplectic about that.
If he has his way, how far are we from that, Bob? Having Russians march in our parade. Shit, might as well. He wants to be all buddy-buddy. I don't know. I just noticed, Bob, that there's not that much patriotism being shown across the country today. It's like it's been muted to a degree.
Well, at one point in time, they had to evacuate the Capitol lawn today because of lightning strikes.
Well, there might be a God after all. Who knows?
They had to deflate the baby Trump.
Oh, yeah. What happened to the baby, Sparky?
They made him deflate it because of the weather in the area.
Oh.
Speaking of the baby boom.
But they wouldn't let him put helium in it. They only put air in it.
So it wasn't going to fly.
They weren't going to let it fly because it might potentially interfere with the aircraft.
Bob, right. What would you do if you had a Trump baby blimp thing? What would you do with
it? Well, I think I'd secretly fill it with helium and they say, oops, the ropes broke.
Yeah, well, you better get ready, buddy, because there's one coming your way.
Yeah?
As soon as I get it, I'm putting it in another box with your address on it and shipping it right out to your ass.
Yeah.
Well, we will fill it with helium and fly it high over the house.
That's what I'm going to do with mine.
It'll last for less than 24 hours.
Before somebody shoots it?
Yeah. The maggots will start, we'll use it for target practice.
Yep, I'm sure they will, Bob. I'm going to fly mine right out there on that flagpole right out there in front of my house. I'm going to let my neighbors see it real good. Yeah, I've got six of them coming, and I already have decided who I'm going to I'm going to keep one for myself, and I'm going to send one to you and several other people that do this same thing that we do, and Randy Kirvin and Leo Sahaki, all them guys.
You got Bob's address?
It's right there. It's right there on the website.
Yeah.
The box.
Yeah. Because Boss Man Wayne will want to see this.
It's coming, Bob. I don't know how big they, because they're being sent to me by one of our Blue Dot family members.
Well, many thanks to that member of the Blue Dot family.
Her name is Jacqueline, and I will let her know. Yeah, I'm going to bring it up on my show when I get them, and I'm going to make sure that everybody knows who they're going to. So she said, spread the fun. So that's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely. That will be good fun.
Yes, it will. I'll have mine featured somehow here on the set. You know, in our production facility here.
I'm sorry, Bob. I've not had the secret address.
Oh, no. I'm not privy to the secret address. The post office box will be just fine. I got one, too.
Hey, does anyone know what ever happened to the Trump-talking, twooping toilet that was in London?
It was there for a while today. Yeah. I saw photos.
Oh.
The pooping, the toilet, Tony, was there. Yeah. Yeah. Full of shit.
That's what he is. Smithsonian.
Boy.
Bob, do you have a preference when it?
Oh, there we go again. Do I have a preference?
When it comes to receiving books as gifts, to have Kindle version or an actual hardcover or hard copy book?
At this point in time, I'm better off with Kindle.
Okay. All right. Well, I will jot that down for future reference. Do you have time for a quick TV viewing tip?
Sure.
I a couple of days ago, was listening to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast. And Buck Henry was the guest. Now, you remember Buck Henry, who created co-creator of Get Smart, appeared as host of SNL like 10 times. Quite an inventive fellow. Apparently, he was hooked up in the late 50s and early 60s with a guy who died about a year ago, a guy by the name of Alan Abel, who was a prankster, always pulling pranks on mass media and society at large. He invented a group called SINA, S-I-N-A, which had to do with clothing horses and any animal that was over 4 inches high or 6 inches long needed to be wearing pants, at least, because of the obscenity of naked animals. His motto was, a nude horse is a rude horse. And he actually had this organization, was on all kinds of major media, from Walter Cronkite to Barbara Walters on the Today Show. And they bought into it. These lazy-ass producers, even back then, would book him with Buck Henry playing the part of the president of this organization. Well, anyway, his daughter did a documentary about him several years ago called Abel, A-B-E-L, Raises Cain, C-A-I-N. And it's on Amazon Prime, and it's like $4.99 or $5.99. And it's not a great documentary, but in today's world, when you look at the scams and the pranks that he pulled, it's too bad that he's dead, because I wonder what he would have made of Trump, because that is, after all, the ultimate scam of our lifetime, you know? But check it out if you get a chance and have $5 or $6 to spend. Abel Raises Cain. It's rather a nice, loving documentary from his daughter to him. Check that one out. You will be amazed at some of the shit he was able to pull off.
Sounds good.
Hey, by the way, this day will be remembered in history, not for Mr. T-Rump history lesson, but for Joey Chestnut won his 12th hot dog eating contest.
Oh, the Nathan's annual event?
Yeah, I think he did. Jesus. 71 this time, I think. I think his record's 73.
Right. That's
I can't even imagine that. Can't even imagine
that
shit.
Fourth time over 70, I think it was.
God. It's frightening. The gastrointestinal issues alone are enough to stun you.
There's nothing compared to the fame, Scott.
Well, now, you know, I guess we all got to be the best at something, but
that's
God
it.
Damn.
I think I'll pick something else. I think I'd pick something else. I can't get over them dipping it in that water. You know, like, gross. How gross can you be? Put your bun in that water and then stick it in your mouth. That's gross.
Yeah, I know. That Kobayashi guy, you know, I saw a contest the other night. He was up against a bear. And the bear was just nonchalantly, you know, sniffing at the hot dogs, but he would unroll his tongue and, like, just lap up 20 of them, you know, just real nonchalantly. And there's a machine, you know, just like you said, dipping the hot dog, the bun in the water with the hot dog and going to town. But he did lose. Bear.
Yep, that's where I draw the line, that jug of water there. Wash away all my onions and mustard.
Also a documentary on, I think, Netflix about Nathan, the original guy who started Nathan's, which is pretty good. I can't remember the name of the documentary, but it came out a couple of years ago, and I watched it not too long ago. I must get out more.
Hey, John, I just had a question by email. Tell everybody the various and sundry ways they can get your program, please.
Oh, you can find me on Facebook under my name, John Britipo, hard to spell, but that's what it is. Or on YouTube at a Blue Dot in Texas, or on Twitter at Blue Dot in Texas. Find me all the time, baby. I'm 24/7 on YouTube. I appreciate that.
Feels that way sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, Bob. I'm telling you, we just got that discussion the other day of you know, you're just like you're involved in this every day of your life, digging through the news, and the more you read, the more shit gets up in your head, and, you know, it gets daunting every now and then. It gets you pissed is what it does. But to all the Horn family, I want you to know that Bob's voice, This is the voice of patriotism out here, baby, and this is a fine day to bring that up. These are the people that are fighting for your ass, fighting for the rights of every one of us in this country, and it's the free voices like that mean more than you're ever going to see on TV. You're not going to find a talking head anywhere that's going to give you the information and the hope that this show will, and it's important
even when it's not hopeful, at least perhaps a way forward.
Yeah, a way forward, baby. We're always planning it. That's what this fight is about. We got till 2020. We have to take the White House and the Senate.
And keep the House.
And keep the House, all of it. We need all of it to advance this country the way we want to see it advance, to bring the programs about and everything. It's because the other side's in it for the money, baby, and you're not getting any of it. They want it all. So,
but that's why I really think that a couple of these candidates need to drop out, and I guess it's too late for them to go back and try to run for the Senate, right, John?
Yeah, you know, I don't think Beto. I don't think he could come back into the state and try to get.
Well,
it
would
Senate,
be that right? would be a dirty piece of work to do to MJ Hager for starters.
That's true
because and she's running a good campaign, and I think she can make John Cornhole sweat.
I think so, baby. Veteran.
Yeah.
You know, all to boot.
I don't know if you saw it, but today he subtweeted, John Cornhole did, he subtweeted Adam Schiff saying something about the border, and John Cornhole said, "And will you lift a finger to help?"
Well, the House already passed the goddamn bill.
Yeah. They passed
numerous bills.
Ask Mitch McConnell that question, because that's who it needs to go to. Yeah, he wants to get anything done. Bob, I'm going to go ahead and slide out of here.
All right, John, good to hear from you, my friend.
Fourth of July, as soon as I get that baby Trump thing, I'll get it and slap that sucker straight in the mail over to you.
Let me know, and I'll be hanging out and waiting on it. And you have yourself a good evening and a happy Fourth to the happy Independence Day to the entire Blue Dot family. And, you know, we can go ahead and ponder what it means for the whole live long weekend, because this is only Thursday.
This is only Thursday. We got, hell, tomorrow's Beer and Bud Friday. Something to look forward to.
Oh,
hey, every day's Beer and Bud.
Well, every day's Beer and Bud, but we only make a big issue out of it on Friday. So, anyway, happy 4th of July to all the Horn family and to all the guests here. Y'all enjoy yourself, and stay on the fight, baby. Stay on the front line. That's where we need you.
Thank you.
Y'all
thank you.
Support, John.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy John Bridevo, Blue Dot in
Bob,
Texas.
I need to go too.
All right, Jim, you have yourself a good remainder of your Independence Day. Enjoy.
Likewise. All my best to everybody, and a good weekend and everything like that.
Sounds good. Take care, Jim.
Support, Jim.
I got out there. The ribs have been wrapped. I had a note from John Bridevo mentioned Leo. I had a mention from Leo over on my little brief Facebook video, and Leo said we got the same toy, namely the Char Griller Acorn. He said, "Yep, them are there. Wrap them rascals, and they're wrapped." And they should be mighty happy. My brother, Rob, up in the Northwoods in Wisconsin, said, took off my St. Louis-style ribs at 5 after 6 hours at 250, sauced the dry-rubbed beauties other than the rack reserved dry, and caramelized the sauce at about 600 degrees, hickory and apple for the smoke, settling in with brown libations now. Have a great evening. You too, Rob. You too. A lot to be said for ribs and brown libations.
Steve from New York, sir.
Hey, Steve.
I think.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Does it sound like I'm in a tin can?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not in the subway, are you?
No, I'm actually at my office working. I have to tell an interesting story that's right along with what John Bridevo said. This is a very, I find these to be very unique New York stories. Is I was sitting on the subway, I don't know, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, and who happens to sit next to me is Bill Moyers. And I looked over to him, I said, "Mr. Moyers?" And he said, "Yes." And we started talking a little bit, and we started talking about, you know, the way things are going. And, he told me his grandson just finished his first year of law school, and you know, he asked, I started talking about the news and how I don't watch most news. He's like, "Well, where do you get your news from?" And I mentioned Mother Jones, BBC, CBC, Al Jazeera, and I said, "But I'll be honest with you, it's so difficult for me to read. I a lot of times I just can't read it. I got a subscription to Mother Jones, and I remember I picked up the first subscription and read about 2 pages. And that's a magazine I used to read cover to cover. I read about 2 pages, and I just couldn't read anymore." And interestingly, the next couple stops was his stop, and he gets up to leave, and he goes to walk out the door, and he turns around to me, and he says, "Keep reading and staying informed." So, you know, I offered that as a little anecdote right along the lines of what you guys were just saying, where you and John were just saying, is as hard as it sometimes is, we got to stay in the fight. But I'll tell you, and I'm not alone in this by any stretch, and I don't mean this to be a self-centered or selfish, little screed here, but if you're paying attention, you don't have much capacity to pay attention for very long. And again, I don't know about anybody else, but I have to take frequent breaks from the news because just when you think it can't get worse,
it does.
It does. Like this show today is so utterly disgusting to me that it's
well, just about beggared description, Steve.
I mean, I used to go. You know, I used to go to when I lived in D.C. We used to go to the Capitol all the time for the 4th celebration. And I'm gonna tell you something. I remember the only issue with the president, and this is whether it was George Bush, whether it was Bill Clinton, whoever it was whether or not to be in the White House on because they wanted to sit. And even as much as I may have despised H.W. or W., or I wasn't a big Clinton fan, there was always this understanding that they stayed out of it. And in fact...
Yeah, there were guardrails. There were boundaries.
There were boundaries. In fact, if I remember right, the back of the White House, which is the South Lawn, was dark. They turned all the lights off because the president wanted to be completely out of it. And politics was never... You know, we talk about that those good old times when Republicans and Democrats used to be able to sit down and actually hang out together. As corny and cliche as it might sound, that was one of those rare times. It was never partisan. It was never any of that. Nobody ever you didn't even wear campaign – you didn't
– Right, but Steve, I have to point out that there is a continuum for all of this. When W decided to attack the defenseless people of Iraq.
True enough.
And he declared, "You're either with us or against us."
Yeah.
you know, that didn't just apply to other nations. That applied. That was a statement. That was a statement about people in the United States.
Sure.
Because
sure.
There were tens of thousands, millions of us who did not want that war, who knew that it was unjust, who knew it was illegal, who knew that it was a war crime. And did not want to have our names associated with it.
Very true.
But
and not only that,
but they did it anyway.
Yeah, they did it anyway.
Okay.
Who is that beating on the microphone?
Who's beating their microphone?
Not me.
That's not me.
It's not me.
I know it's not me.
Jim's not on the stress line.
It's a guest.
It's Agent Fred. Ha ha ha, we know you're there, Agent Fred.
No, it's somebody that used the link that...
What is that? Where's the wind coming from?
Is that...
Yeah, that's the wind under the redwood tree.
Yeah. I've got a USB fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on a headset myself, but I'm indoors. I'm actually downtown in Dumbo, which is... You know, I could go to the top of my building, and I basically have a front row seat to the fireworks. But I don't feel like celebrating today. I just don't.
Me neither.
Well, Steve. But you know what? Let me offer a counterpoint to that, Steve. This is what you know. What they're going to do in New York is what they always do in New York, and it'll be spectacular. And in its own way, I prefer, you know, sometimes we ascribe meanings to things that aren't necessarily overt. That's going to be, in some ways, a celebration that Donald Trump is not in New York. Because
fair enough.
Nobody despises Donald Trump like a New Yorker despises Donald Trump. He has been a plague on New York society and culture for seven decades. He has been an embarrassment to the moneyed class. He's known for being a cheap bastard and a grifter. And so, consequently, it will be a celebration of the absence of Donald Trump. It may also be a celebration of the Southern District of New York.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know if you saw it or not, but I guess it was, what, yesterday, the day... One federal judge told the Justice Department that he would not believe that they were not going to try to shit weasel a census question onto the form until he had it in writing and gave them until tomorrow to put it in writing. Meanwhile, another judge in the Southern District of New York said something similar. Because this, and that's a pretty clear statement that, that Trump cannot be trusted. And I've already figured out, just by way of a sort of a little segue, I've already figured out what I'm going to do with our census form if they do shit weasel a citizenship question into it. If that question appears on my census form, I'm going to take a broad-tipped Sharpie and I'm going to write in all capital letters STFUD.
Oh, perfect. Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
And you know what? Get a little. We need to get little stickers of Walter Sobchak and put those on stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe a Walter GIF needs to be a response to every Trump tweet. Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. Can I just let me ask a question? I know it sounds weird, but I won't kid you. I still find myself once in a while, once a day, once every few days, saying to myself, "Is this real? Is this really happening?"
Every morning, Steve. Yeah. Every time.
And it's not.
Pick up. Yeah, it's insane.
And it's not a cliche. I really ask myself.
Well, no, I mean, it was before you got here, but we were watching some of the coverage, and all of a sudden, CNN broke away to a break as the B-2 and the F-22s were flying over, and for a few minutes there, I was kind of waiting to find out that one of the things had crashed. Because that's the world we live in. We live in stupid times. Bizarre shit happens. I mean,
I say that if the Kraken crawled out of Lake Michigan and swallowed all of Chicago, it wouldn't surprise me. It just wouldn't.
Well, we finally saw one in the depths of American scientists finally saw one in American waters.
Them Asian carp.
Oh.
No, it was a giant squid.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's got to be a climate change thing.
You've got a woman just died of because she stumbled while walking through the water and had a little open wound and got killed by flesh-eating bacteria.
Whoa.
That's why I don't go to the ocean.
Well, you know what W.C. Fields said about it. Fish piss in that.
It's dying. It's dying.
Yeah.
Well, you know about the phosphorus runoff and the algae blooms. We can't even drink the damn water in Lake Erie.
Right.
I wouldn't even hear salmon to come up the Sacramento River because of Fukushima.
Really, Sparky?
Yeah, I mean, all the fish that come back, the salmon that come back, have been irradiated with Fukushima waste.
Wow.
Well, there was some good news in Ohio. One of the circuit courts struck down the Ohio the abortion attempt, you know, the radical abortion attempt by our idiot governor. So it's at least been struck down, and I think in the federal circuit court, probably go to the Supreme Court eventually.
Well, that is good news, Joe.
Hey, who is that? Joe? Is that your name? Who lives in Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Where in Ohio? I'm from Ohio.
Oh, really? Yeah, just south of Cleveland.
My partner used to went to Oberlin.
Oberlin, yeah. I live in a little town called Wadsworth, and Oberlin's about an hour from me.
Okay, I think I kind of know where it is.
There was a big stink. Did you read about the thing about the bakery? There was a bakery.
Oh, yes. My partner, he sent it to me. Looks like the school really laid an egg on that.
They fucked up.
They fucked up.
What's the story, guys?
Essentially what happened was there were some students, and it was a young man, if I remember right, who had walked into the store and had taken something. He stole something. Tell me if I'm remembering it right.
No, and they threw him out. As I understand it, they threw him out, and then they claimed that the bakery was racist, and they claimed the bakery had been racist for years, and students were protesting. I guess some faculty got involved.
Well, one of the administrators got involved,
exactly,
the dean of students or something.
Exactly, And it turned out the bakery said their reputation had been so tarnished, and they sued and got a $33 million judgment.
Wow.
Well, it was more. If I remember right, it was 11 was the damages, plus the punitive damages were 33. It came to over 40-some-odd million dollars.
Yeah, could be.
And what, I mean, the court, they'll reduce that because of Ohio law with, I think you can only get, I don't remember there's an issue where they won't get that. But that bakery had been, I remember the bakery.
Oh, it's been there over 100 years.
It's been there forever, and there's never been, I don't know that there's ever been an issue. And look, I'm not trying to say that racism doesn't exist and all that, but sometimes, you know, you gotta be.
Well, just thank God our president isn't racist.
Oh.
yeah, right.
But Oberlin is like, Oberlin, the town, was a stop on the Underground Railroad, for one. And number two, Oberlin, the school, was the first school in the country to have co-ed dorms.
Yeah.
They were the first to have a gay athletic director. That was the first or second school, I think Bob and I talked about this once, where Heisman coached. But regardless, it's got a long, very, very, very progressive history.
Yeah, local history, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone fucks up now and again. But
that's a pretty big one.
That's a pretty big
one.
That
is most definitely.
But I mean, I can, in one sense, I can understand where the kid was coming from, because, well, I don't know, I wasn't there, but
that's that's the key to it all. You're not there. You don't really know what happened.
Right. And shit's never what it seems, especially in this fucking day and age. Excuse my French.
Hey, Joe, I can't remember if I already asked you this, but I can't remember. How close are you to where that nutcase with all the exotic animals, and he let them all loose and killed himself? And how close are you to where that happened?
I remember that happening, but that was down, you know where that was near, Bob, was Millersburg, where you were talking about the Amish yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was down in that general area. Yeah, some, a little bit south of there. Some guy, let a bunch of wild animals loose, and jeez,
insane, man.
But Bob, Millersburg is my wife's home away from home. We live about 40 minutes from there. She loves the wineries and all the food they make down there.
That Amish wedding branded anything that they carry at the Ben Franklin here is fantastic. They do a hot cherry salsa.
Yep.
That is simply unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bob, that's Roger level food porn there.
Oh, well, I'm still getting over Roger's food porn from last night.
That was great. I actually gasped on the subway when I heard the tuna. I was on the subway and went, "Oh." People probably thought I was, I don't know, whatever, but oh my God, the stuff he talked about was so good.
Oh, yeah, with that ahi chili sauce? Whoa, quit it. Just go.
And my father used to garden in Cannes, and he'd say, his famous saying was, eat what you can and can what you can. Eat what you can and what you can't can. And he was, my father, he was a prolific canner, man. Oh God, we had food all year long. He was outstanding.
There's nothing like home canned food in the dead of winter.
Yep.
Like I've said a million times before, it will save your soul. And now I'm intrigued to see if Roger will actually try pickled corn.
Ooh.
Because that's a game changer too.
Hey Bob, what was that? Oh, the Himalaya berry sauce. That was the one that.
Yeah, that
was
just murderous. I picked up a pint of Häagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream today, and I was thinking about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when he said that, that was another one that made me gasp.
I had a note from our buddy Reverbo earlier today. They went out. He's over in Maryland. And they went out blueberry picking today and picked 12 pounds of blueberries.
Wow.
And you know, it was at like a blueberry farm, a pick your own blueberry farm. And we've got something similar here, only it's not a farm and you don't have to pay. You just have to be able to be willing to fight with the occasional black bear, because there are raspberries the size of the first joint of my thumb. and the bears go through, and the people go through, and occasionally, well, you know, I generally let the bears win. But God, they are so sweet, and to make a sauce like what Roger was talking about, holy wow!
Now, let me ask any. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go strawberry picking, and what I used to love is we always went in the morning when it was kind of warm out, a little humid. You'd pull those berries off the bush, and I always used to love to bite into that berry and that warm.
Yeah,
juice.
Nothing that happens in a grocery store can get anywhere near the go pick on yourself strawberries.
Oh my! It was just, you know, Bob. It would drip down your chin.
Oh yeah. And we'd come home because there was one of those up in Tennessee. We'd come home and my mother would go immediately to work, and sit there, you know, pull the caps, and she'd start slicing. And she'd get a nice layer on, and she'd sprinkle on some sugar. Another big layer of strawberries, more sugar, because then it builds its own syrup. And she would boil some of the syrup down, and the rest of it she'd put in little square pint freezer containers, and we'd, you know, we'd have strawberries in the winter.
Oh my God, it's just has taken me back.
Yeah, but biling down that syrup. Whew. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, Joe, you said that there were vineyards in Ohio, South Ohio?
Oh, yeah, down Amish country, right there in the Millersburg area there, Carroll County and Holmes County. Oh, my God, they're famous. They're world famous. Schmucker's Jam, they make some of that. People love it down there.
Yep. Yeah, that's like that Schmucker's strawberry jalapeno spread that I found earlier that went so good on vanilla ice cream. And now has completely disappeared from the grocery store shelves. I'm going to have to order it in from Amazon. But I'd love to try to make some of that myself.
Bob, you still have the yuzu sauce from
I'm still set with yuzu. In fact, I'm going to be having some. I'm going to be having some on my ribs in a little bit.
Oh, yum! All right,
Bob. Do you have Big Lots where you live?
We do.
Sometimes you can find stuff that you used to find in your store at Big Lots.
Yeah, because it'll get remaindered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought an entire case of original stadium mustard from Cleveland once when I found it there because it had disappeared from Kroger's, and I love that mustard.
I remember you saying that you bought a case of something, but I couldn't remember what was in the case.
Oh yeah, my God! Used to go to Cleveland Stadium. Get a foot-long hot dog and put that mustard. There was nothing like it.
Yeah, and it really, it's different. It's not Dijon. It's not French's Yellow.
Nope.
It's something else.
It's its own mix. Yep.
And I've been known to just, you know, sort of, you know, put a dot on my finger and just to,
Do you dab a little behind each ear when you want to feel special? That's how I am with Brian's original barbecue sauce.
Oh, that's another thing I need. I need some. I need some Dreamland real soon. Yeah, I don't go to barbecue joints anymore because I feel like I can compete pretty closely. And the two exceptions are Dick Howell's Pit Barbecue in Florence, Alabama, and Dreamland in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
That sauce, that it's not particularly hot, but it's not all sweet and sticky. And what it turns into on a slab of ribs,
Hey, guys, I'm going to go silent because I got to get in the car and head over to my sister. So I'll just listen the rest of the way.
All right. Well, happy Independence Day to you and enjoy the trip.
Thanks. You too, everybody.
Randy in PA says, a slice of cantaloupe with Breyers vanilla ice cream and raspberry syrup poured over the top of it. Damn.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
You know what is good? My Uncle Ted, who lived in Miami, used to bring mangoes up from Miami. A sliced mango mixed in with your ice cream, your vanilla ice cream. I'd never had anything like that before. I didn't know what a mango was. I said, well, what's it like? Is it like an, a pear?
This was the same, like a... this was the same uncle that screwed with your head every summer, wasn't it?
Oh, with the fucking alligator steak. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Ted was a merry prankster himself. Jeez.
I thought he
He would cut. For those who don't know the story, I'll recap it briefly. He would come up from Miami. He was a mechanic for Eastern Airlines, so he could fly for free, you know, pretty often. And he'd come up from Miami every summer to visit. And he would swing by the Safeway supermarket where a friend of his worked in the meat department. And he would buy a, you know, how they have those flat polystyrene trays with the slab of meat, and then they'd cover it with cellophane and put a label on it, price label. Well, he would get the guy to pack up a slice of just ordinary country ham and cover it with cellophane and print out a label that said alligator steak and then the price. And he'd buy it and he'd bring it to me and he says, well, it's back again, Scott, and I brought you some alligator steak. And for years, we'd fry it up. And I was just a kid, you know, 8 or 9 years old. I said, you know, Ted, this tastes for all the world like ham. He says, well, you know, a lot of people say that about alligator steak. And he had me going for years with that scam. Good Lord.
Nice. I love that.
Getting back to what Steve in New York was saying about some days you'll sit there and watch the seemingly endless parade of lunacies going across your big color set, and it's like you're entranced by it. You don't, it's like, is this real? How can these things be, you know? But it is. I've had that feeling more than once. I mean, starting initially on election night 2016,
100%.
Looking at it when it was unfolding in real time, saying, what the fluorescent fuck?
And now we're here. And it's hard. I try not to do it. I try not to do it. But, you know, I think, you know, what perpetually drives me just batshit is that we didn't have to be here.
No shit.
Yeah, it was entirely avoidable.
That's right, Bob. If the DNC hadn't stole the election for Hillary.
Yeah, goddamn Debbie Wasserman Schultz, fucking DNC.
Yeah, I'm not going to vote.
Let me tell you what.
There's no time machine. We can't go back.
Yeah, there's not. No. Forward. But you'll get a kick out of this. I just saw an article that was published over at Salon by David Mastriotra, and the headline asks the question: are we just too dumb for democracy? The photo that accompanies the article is a photograph of Chuck Todd.
That's another one that I sit there and look at and go, how the fuck did you get here? How did you get here? You know what he must have been? You know, I say this about politics a lot, or people who are party operatives. People who are typically, and I can say this because when I worked on the Hill, I saw this. People who work in the party don't do it very long. They get in, they make their connections, and they move out onto something else. It's the people who aren't that talented who stay with the working for the party itself. And when the good people leave and there's no director and there's no people in the upper echelon, it's those idiots who kind of are standing there and people say, well, we need a director. I guess you're it. And that's what it seemed like.
And every so often, you know, one of these civic minded organizations will survey Americans just to find out how stupid we are. And this particular article cites a recent National Geographic survey.
Oh, God, Bob, please don't.
I'm sorry. You're here. We gotta. Only 37% of recent college graduates can identify Iraq on a map.
I heard that.
The majority of them failed to identify North Korea. Only 25% could identify Iran or Israel. And then, and this is, wow, among young Americans aged 18 to 24, 6% of them could not even point out the United States on a map.
Good God. Where was this article about, is America too dumb for democracy? Was that?
Salon.
Where? Salon.
You know, when I, you know, when I went to school in the 60s, every classroom had a globe on in it.
Yeah. And we, well, I mean.
And pull down maps?
I mean, they went. They went.
Like window shades?
Not what you were learning.
Even in a little public school system in Alabama, they went to pains to teach us where we were in the world and what the world around us was like. We had study units on Panama and Brazil and Egypt.
Yeah.
And it, oh, God. And I guess we don't do that anymore.
It's the school boards are getting dumber and dumber. And they're the ones that,
you know,
take care of the curriculum in most schools, right?
It seems to me, and Steve brought up Bill Moyers, it seems to me in the early part of the 2000s, like 2005, something like that, it was on PBS, and I'm pretty sure his production company did this piece that I'm going to refer to. It was a look at the school board or the textbook board in the state of Texas who were in hot water because of buying and ordering basically the textbook companies to leave out or include stuff that either shouldn't be left out or shouldn't be included in the official textbooks for the state. But it was not just for Texas, because they became like a regional standard.
So yeah, it's states, either the California standards or the Texas standards.
Yeah, yeah. And these were like religious, far-right political nutbuckets who were making these decisions that affected vast quantities of young minds who wouldn't learn the real deal. You know, there's the straight dope, so to speak. And I'm pretty sure Moyers had something to do with that documentary. I miss him on PBS. I used to look forward.
Well, look, the fact that the PBS NewsHour carried the Trump Strava, the ex-Magaganza, tells you everything you need to know about the direction that outfit has taken in recent years.
That show hadn't been right since McNeil and Larry left it.
Well, but not just that. Remember, it was, again, like I said with Steve earlier, this is a continuum.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
yeah.
Do you remember?
Sponsors are all rich.
Do you remember when W put a bunch of Republican lick spittles in the governing body of PBS?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, now that you mention it.
See?
And even back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, there were Republican senators who hated the very notion of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS.
Yeah.
And anything like what was that arts organization, National Endowment for the Arts?
Oh, yeah.
They
Chocolate Jesus, piss Christ.
Oh, God damn. And you would, this is the other thing that boggles the mind. You would think that by almost the start of the second decade of the 21st fucking century.
Third.
That, whatever. that we'd be further along in terms of our national attitude.
Yeah, sorry.
And our the shit that we know. And, I mean, I thought that when they buried Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond and people of that ilk, James O. Eastland, for Christ's sake, you know, well, maybe a new crop of people who are more attuned to reality, who dwell in a reality-based reality, will take up the mantle and you know, well, things will become stable.
Yeah, there goes that hoping again.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, I posted a link to that article you mentioned, Bob, from Salon in the Skype chat.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got somebody on the stress line. Let's go over and see who. Hey, welcome to the conversation. Yo, you're on the air. Stress line. You're on. You hear me, right? Kind of strange, but I don't know. If you're on hold and you get brought
stand
on, you get
beside
it.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh. Don't do that. Yeah. Well, the ribs have now been resting for, oh, I'd say close to an hour. So they should be ready to go on and get sauced here pretty soon.
Yeah, what an odd coincidence, Bob, that you timed that right around 9 o'clock when they're ready to get sauced.
There's a lot of talent goes into this sometimes.
Oh, I know that. I want to ask you, by the way, you have my email. If there's anything I can pick up for you here in New York, let me know, and I can buy it vacuum sealed. I think I sent you a bunch of bagels one time that I vacuum sealed.
Yes.
But yeah, but if there's anything your palate wants, let me know and I'll pick it up and send it out to you.
Okay. Bagels have never been the same since February of 2 years ago.
Yeah, nothing's been the same.
Well, I mean, just the New York bagel versus, I guess the Montrealians make some claim to bagel fame, but no, New York. New York bagels, New York pizza. I don't think you can vacuum seal a cheese pizza, can you, Steve?
I mean, I could, but you'll get it, and it would be, it would end up being a solid roll of pizza.
Yeah, that'd probably have to go through it with a chainsaw. Mm-hmm.
So this is sounding like the Berlin airlift, where poor Bob is in West Virginia. And the dedicated
well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I can and a lot of stuff that I can't get.
Oh, I know.
Although I did notice, for anybody who wants to know, you can now get Kaneka on Amazon.
See, I was going to actually ask you to send me some of that. But now that I can get it there, I'll do that.
Because I can't get it here. I have to drive to Virginia if I want it.
Where in Virginia?
Bluefield. But it's all over southern and southwest Virginia at a chain called Food City.
Is that an independent chain, or is that like sub-chain of Kroger's?
No, no, no. They're their own thing.
Okay.
But the best thing about it all is that the Kaneka folks have started doing a no nitrite, no nitrate, no MSG, no MSG sausage.
That sounds healthier,
considerably. And of course, the things are they're vacuum sealed, and so they'll ship it anywhere in the U.S. I guess Amazon will.
Cool.
With a little horn history, the world famous cowboy is cowbell rather is a smuggler's item.
Yes.
Hey, Bob, isn't there a Bluefield, West Virginia, and Bluefield, Virginia? Isn't
yes, there are, and you, it's one of those go across the street kind of things.
Right.
But you can't. But yeah, you can't. You got to go to the Virginia side if you to Food City, if you want to, if you want to get Kaneka.
Now is Kaneka like sausage in a roll?
No, it's they're it's like, you know, links, but not okay. Like those little tiny Hormel. No, these are, it's got yeah. it's a natural casing, and comes in vacuum sealed 1 pound packages, and you can either simmer it on the stove or grill it, or I love and see, I got this crazy notion now since I can get it on Amazon, and this would be this might be something I would want to consult with Roger on, seeing as he is a master canner. I've got this notion that I would like to make pickled Kaneka. You know, like pickled sausage, like in a bar with your beer and a
cracker.
Oh,
yeah, like, yeah, right next to the pickled hard-boiled eggs. And
Yeah.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, that
oh, could, Bob. Mm.
That could be, yeah, you see what I mean?
Oh, my God.
See, Bob, you've got what I refer to as an adventurous palate and a cast-iron gut from all appearances. I can't go some of the places on an Epicurean level that you can.
Well, it's weird. Things that are supposed to torment me don't. I mean, I get where I'm absolutely crazy for acid. I think maybe it's because I take one of those proton pump inhibitors, you know, to fight against acid reflux.
Are you talking about gastric acid, or are you talking about, hey, baby, groovy?
No, yeah, no, the first kind. So I have to.
For acid.
Yeah, stop that.
To be honest. Stop. Okay, go ahead.
No, so I think because I suppress it so much, sometimes I just crave it. And so, you know, pickle juice out of the jar, whatever. Big swig of yuzu, anything.
He's lost his mind.
Oh, and by the way, the griddle gets...
Scott, you're too old for acid.
Oh, but he didn't used to
too
be.
Too old? No, hell no. If I could find a reliable source... I would love to take it as an adult, because I know how I danced with it as a teen, and, you know, maybe it would be too much, maybe it'd be overload, maybe you'd read in the paper that I had gone out and climbed the palm tree out front and communed with the squirrels and never came down.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you'd probably do something like that.
Yeah, but no, I think it. So you know, I just have to. I have to have some acid from time to time, and it doesn't bug me. And I can eat hot and spicy; doesn't bother me. On the other hand, you let me sit down and eat one slice of Pizza Hut pan pizza, and I know I never should. And I'm in hell.
Yeah.
I'm in hell. And so I've developed this weird little theory that the nearer to natural the thing is that you're eating, the better off you are.
I'll drink to that.
It's like when I get my little care packages from Reverbo and Sonia from time to time, no problem with that because it's meticulously, artisanally made and perfect. Ooh, Randy in PA says, I have access to some artisanal spicy cheddar cheese. I'd like to eventually ship to you, but not in this hot summer weather. No, that would not work. But it would be, yes, I would happily try it. Let's try the stress line one more time.
I think we'll be able
Are you
to
there?
I think you have to go to Idaho or Nevada.
Hello. Yeah.
And they run about anywhere from $8 to $20 a shot.
Sounds like somebody's listening to a replay.
I don't know. Somebody's talking to somebody. But
hey,
not
Bob?
Us. Yeah.
Hey, are you fairly close to Amish country at all, either in Ohio or Pennsylvania?
Oh, Amish country in Pennsylvania. I'll be passing through that. That's 7 hours from me. Amish country in Ohio is a little bit closer, but not very.
Because no, I mean, like Scott mentioned, if there's regional stuff that you can get that I just can't get, I would. I would PayPal the money to you in a heartbeat and ask you to get it, because there was a lot of stuff. I remember what I used to love to get was apples and apple cider at a farm in Ohio when I was a kid. So I've had cider in other places, and I can't find anything that's as good as the stuff as I bought there.
Well, let's see.
Hey,
the,
Steve, where did you grow up in Ohio?
Well, I was born in an itty bitty town called Greenville, which is right near the Indiana border.
Dayton, yeah, that way. Yeah, I know where you
are.
Yeah.
Dayton, Cincinnati. When I go back, I didn't go this year, I don't think. MLK weekend to Columbus, and you may have heard me talk about it. It's a thing called Dudathon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's it's a theater and draft house called Studio. I think it's Studio 35. And what they do is they'll bring in a brewery. First night is, they used to only be one night, but the first, it's now three nights because it's become so popular. It's first night they have Columbus Brewing Company. Second night they have this super regional. It's only in, I think it's in Indiana, but it's they're in Indiana, but they only distribute in Indiana and Ohio, called Three Floyds, which they have a really good lineup. And then the last night, which used to only be on Sunday, so we always go on Sunday because you know we're the originals. Bell's Brewery out of Kalamazoo comes in, and they do you taste.
They
about
do a
10
lot of
beers.
Bell's does a lot of good stuff.
Uh huh. Yeah, they do. They really do.
I would love to now that I have my sweater. I would love to let the facial hair grow out and what hair is on my head, and I would love to attend that sometime.
You should absolutely, because they actually have a contest at the beginning of it of people who dress up. What would be really cool is if they could somehow get like Jeff Bridges or John Goodman to show up. I think David Huddleston recently died. He was the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But so you get lit on the really good beer tasting and then watch the Big Lebowski and people scream at the screen. I mean, everybody who goes there, or at least most people, you
know every line in the movie. Yeah.
Like the Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah, it's kind of grown into that. So I go to that. I think it's been going for 10 years, 15 years. I've been every time, but maybe two or three times. And I have a very good friend of mine from high school lives right down the street from it. So I go and stay with him. I stay with his wife and his two little girls. And we get to see each other. We don't get to see each other, but once a year, unfortunately. And now that my dad and my stepmom moved down to Canton, Georgia, I go just for that. I don't go to see family anymore. But right. No, it's a lot of fun. One of these times I want to go to Lebowski Fest, which that actually travels around the country in different venues. But some of the actors and actresses have gone to that. I think John Turturro's gone. I think Steve Buscemi's gone. I know David Huddleston went, and I think Jeff Bridges. I don't think that John Goodman ever went. But that it's fun. It's just fun. And Studio 35 is great. They have about maybe 30 taps, and it's always constantly rotating with good. A lot of local craft beers and
yeah. See, we were talking about breweries. This latest one that's opened up over in Fayetteville called Free Folk, where we did the poetry slam the other night. I don't know if anybody even saw that, but two or three of us read some original poetry, and it was in a brewery, Free Folk, and they've got a beer on tap right now. It's a Goza, you know, the sour. And because I can't resist making suggestions, I said, you know, you've made the Goza. Now all you got to do is do the secondary fermentation, and you've got lambic, and you will not be able to keep it. So it will be so thoroughly consumed. And especially right now, since the blackberries are coming ripe, you take that Goza and you do a secondary fermentation, and you let the blackberries macerate in the beer. And oh my God, that would be fantastic. But the other thing
I'll tell you what, Bob.
Yeah, Joe, go.
I was just going to say, sometime in the fall, I love that drive down the West Virginia Turnpike and the Virginia. Anytime you want me to get you a bag of groceries, man, I'll bring it on down. You can cook me some ribs, and I just enjoy West Virginia.
Yeah, it sounds like a darn good time. One of the things that I had in mind is, since the griddle is now on the way, I've been thinking about, you know, first things I'm going to do with it. And God knows I can't afford filet, so I'll probably, like I said, find the manager, wait till the manager special is on for some flat iron steaks at Kroger's, and do like a Japanese style, you know, teppanyaki table, with the fried rice and the veggies and everything. But I looked at Agnes the other day and I said, it just occurred to me, we're going to have grilled cheeses of the gods with that thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing it's inspiring me to do is to make up a batch of that wonderful, wonderful sourdough starter and make sourdough pancake batter and do sourdough pancakes on that griddle. They will be heavenly.
Oh, God. I've got a food question. Somebody earlier was talking about our artisanal cheese.
Yeah, that was Randy.
And it made me think back, and I don't think they exist anymore except little holiday kiosks around Christmas time. Hickory Farms used to have cheese and beef stick in little retail stores, and I think they disappeared or they shrunk or something. They used to have a beef jerky that, for my money, was the best damn beef jerky.
Well, yeah, they used to have standalone stores. Now they just pop up at Christmas.
But I checked their website, what there is of it, and they apparently don't make the beef jerky anymore. Does anyone remember Hickory Farms beef jerky, and do they know of a current form of it made by a different company?
No, but the one thing that I do, I can recommend, if you've got a Schwann's truck that comes around, the Schwann's,
I think I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah, the Schwann's summer sausage is really, really good. And if you and it's a little pricey, but if you're really feeling excessive, you can peel that skin back a little bit and cut a slice of it that's about the thickness of a piece of a sausage patty.
Yeah.
And throw that in the pan and fry it.
Ooh.
Just till it gets a little crust going on both sides.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like a
fried bologna sandwich.
Only it's not. I mean, it's got so much more to it. And serve that up with some scrambled eggs with sautéed onions in it. Shoot, oh, get man. Out of town. Sourdough
well,
toast.
What was so great about the Hickory Farms beef jerky? Most beef jerky that you see today is flat. It's like reconstituted and chopped up and flattened out, and then they put it in a pouch and send it to the store. This stuff was like hunks of beef, gnarly. They look like tree trunk, not trunk, but the you know how sometimes the roots of a tree will stick up out of the ground? They're sort of gnarled and twisted. These were like little chunks of beef.
Yeah.
That they had jerkied. Oh, God, it was so good. Oh.
And
you know what?
And probably harder than calculus too.
No, not really. That was one of the things I liked about it. Was it was easily chewed, unlike, you know, some of the beef jerky that you can get now.
That's leather.
Is like, oh, it's like sandal bottoms.
Hey, let me try one more time. We've got somebody on the stress line. Are you there? Hello? Sounds like there's a good time being had in the background, but nobody seems to know that they're on the air. Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, hello.
You guys there?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, it's Rick.
Oh, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm on the phone. I'm actually on Skype on my phone.
Okay, well, I came to you a little while ago, and nobody heard me, so...
Oh, but... yeah, no, yeah, I did like about probably a 7-mile bike ride here. I went to the beach, hung out with some of Star's family members, and then rode a couple of miles to the party here. Going to have like a barbecue, and it's just getting started now. So I missed all the show. Hope everybody's having a great day.
You obviously missed the earthquake too, huh?
Oh, the earthquake was wonderful. Yeah, I was like, I was sitting at my computer table at about maybe, what time was it? 10 minutes to 10 or something, or maybe 10:50 maybe.
It was like mid morning.
Yeah, it's like 10:50, and just all of a sudden started to like, you know, feel kind of a gentle roll, you know.
Yeah.
And it lasted probably about 10 or 15 seconds, I would say. And the cats definitely noticed it. The cats and the dog noticed it. They were like thinking, okay, what's going on here, you know? But I mean, fortunately, it was far enough away. It was 150 miles northeast of Los Angeles, so it wasn't that big a deal. I know that Star felt it. How much do you feel it today, Star? The earthquake.
Oh, it was rocking. Did you feel the earthquake?
No.
Oh, you didn't? No. Really? Oh, that's surprising.
It was
rocking. How about you, Mike? Did you feel it?
Yeah.
Right, I was on Long Beach. Yeah.
I was in North Huntington Beach, and the house rocked.
Yeah, she was in North Huntington Beach, and I was in La Crescenta. So I mean, it was felt in Vegas as well. I hear. So.
Yeah, it was. I saw video of a swimming pool shaking in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. The water splashing out of the pool and.
Well, the story in the paper, the local San Diego Union Tribune. Said there was felt in San Diego County, but I was asleep. And if I stirred at all, it probably didn't register if we felt it here, because I sleep pretty soundly.
So chirps didn't wake you up, Scott, huh?
No. You weren't down here. Easter Sunday, about 10 years ago, there was one southeast of here, like 110 miles, right at the Calexico, right at the Mexico-U.S. border.
Yeah.
And we felt that thing here. And, I mean, we shook 110 miles away for a good 25 or 30 seconds. I actually began to feel nauseous from my inner ear being jostled around.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah.
Well, hey,
yeah,
I got it. We're running out of time here, but I just want to share one more. This is what happens when you don't carry the whole speech. We missed a great moment in Trumpism. I have a quote for you.
Mm-hmm. In June of 1775, the Continental Congress created a unified army out of the revolutionary forces encamped around Boston and New York and named after the great George Washington, Commander-in-Chief. The Continental Army suffered a bitter winter of Valley Forge, found glory across the waters of the Delaware, and seized victory from Cornwallis at Yorktown. Our army manned the air, it rammed the ramparts, it took over airports, it did everything it had to do, and at Fort McHenry, under the rocket's red glare, had nothing but victory. When dawn came, the Star-Spangled Banner waved defiant.
Yes, that's right. The Revolutionary Army took over the airports.
Kind of reminds me of the Germans bombing Pearl Harbor, you know, in the Animal House. Come on, he's on a roll. Let him go.
Shut up. Yes. Our army manned the air. It rammed the ramparts. It took over airports. It did everything it had to do. But the thing is, at Fort McHenry under the rocket's red glare, that's the War of 1812.
Yeah,
that's when they wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. That's right, the War of 1812.
Yeah.
By the way, Scott, I paced. Yeah. I heard Randy Rhodes. Oh, and I don't. You know, this is free advertising. I know. Always talks about a place called Herky Jerky that does all kinds of jerky, like beef jerky, venison, turkey jerky.
Oh, we've got Jerky City down in there's a chain. You can buy Scott. You can buy real kangaroo jerky.
You want the jerk? Holy we shit, got the Bob. Jerk.
Yeah. And by the way, Cynthia. This is how the community reaches out to try to help each other. Cynthia just wrote in, she didn't say how the she didn't say how the ribeyes went, but I bet they're good. Scott might want to try mahogany smoked meats out of Bishop, California. Might not be what you're looking for, but it's a little bit on the expensive side. But Cynthia says I enjoy them when I can. So mahogany smoked meats, Bishop, California.
All right, I'll check that one out. I'll check out Herky Jerky. And what's that one near you, Jerky City with the kangaroo?
Jerky World or World of Jerky. It's a chain.
Jerky Jerk.
I mean, you can buy it by the ounce. You can buy it by the pound. You know, y'all have legal weed. We have jerky by the gram.
We'll settle for the weed, Bob. Well, thanks.
Jerky companies everywhere out here too, Bob.
I was drawing the distinction, Sparky, between legal weed and legal jerky.
That was a funny.
Yeah. I'm just saying, we got legal jerky out here.
Hey, you got to leave a little.
Like I always complain, I still have to drive 40 miles to get legal weed.
Break my fucking heart. Yeah.
Duncan, that's crazy. That your county or municipality is so backwards, that just doesn't make any sense. Especially up in Northern California. Jesus, I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a dispensary up there in some of those areas.
And if you go in Shasta Lake City, Scott, right, and then going down further, Yuba City, Marysville, Sacramento.
Oh, and by the way, Charlie just wrote in and asked, does West Virginia have the Skyline Chili chain of stores? No, mercifully, we do not. But you can get Skyline in the grocery store, I think, at both Walmart and Kroger's. I resist the urge as often as possible.
I know.
Gold Star chili is not bad for canned chili. I mean, come on.
Well, you know what? There's a place here in New York. The guy who owns it was from Cincinnati, and it's in Tribeca. And on the last Monday of the month, he does Cincinnati Day. So he has like three ways and all Skyline chili. He has Montgomery and ribs. He has Grater's ice cream.
I used to hear a lot about the ribs at Montgomery Inn.
The sauce is good. The ribs aren't the best, but the sauce is made every day.
Early in the season, huh?
What was it? The Cincinnati broadcaster. What was his name? Bill Burbank or something like that.
Burbank.
Gary Burbank.
Gary Burbank. Can I send you the thing he did? And I'm sorry to interrupt. The thing about he called the KY Jelly Company and told him how much he loved Kentucky Jelly.
Yes, I mean that's pure genius. I love me some of that Kentucky Jelly.
Says, but it doesn't have much of a taste, but I like it on toast.
Yeah, hey to mom and them. Yeah, hey to mom and them. Mama says hey. Yeah, yeah. He was God, brilliant, just brilliant radio. But hey, we've come to the close of the program, and I've got to go sauce the ribs. And so, with that having been said, I will wish you all a
switch to John Brittavo show.
That you do, and I've got a among other things, I just decided to let the fundraising go this evening. We'll just have a $480 goal tomorrow night for Friday on the front porch, and see where see where the next 21 hours takes us. I mean, after all, knowing that the Continental Army was able to take over take the airports away from Cornwallis.
The freaking airports.
Yeah.
Damn.
Jesus Christ.
The British Air Force was very powerful during the Revolutionary War. People forget about that, you know? It's a little discussed in the history books.
Yeah.
Well, what was it, steam-powered aeroplanes? I mean,
might have been those planes that were designed by Leonardo with the pedals and shit and the bat wings. I don't know.
And I wonder if they have sharks with freaking laser beams on their heads.
Sharks
too.
With freaking laser beams.
Well, no, got they some... didn't come up with balloons till like the 1850s.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm trying to remember when the Montgolfier brothers did that. That was in Paris, and
it was about the 1850s.
Yeah, probably early 1850s, I'm guessing.
Oh God! We can't leave until we know. We can't leave until we know.
They used hot air balloons for surveillance in the Civil War to look at the what the other troops were doing on the other side of the divide. Pretty sure.
The Montgolfier brothers flew their first hot air balloons in 1796.
Wow.
I thought it was the
18th
century.
Well, that's still too late for the fucking...
Well, yes. Yeah, it is, but we're discussing the ravings of a goddamn moron.
I mean, not to
put too fine a point on it or anything.
Well, if I ever partake of acid as a grown-up, I don't want the type that Trump has been obviously taking.
George,
that's
Washington.
Too weird.
It's definitely the brown stuff.
Metaphysical tobacco.
You know, the world would probably be considerably better off if he would lighten up and spark up, but, you know.
He's not going to do anything to alter the purity of his body.
So anyway, happy Independence Day to y'all. Thanks for joining in for the little conversation this evening. It made tolerating that madness a hell of a lot easier. And thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, however you choose so to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky this evening in the chat room and in the around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the Old Holler Tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.